Good morning. It is 9:04 a.m., Wednesday, June 28, 2017. I will call our Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. If our councilmen members could grab their seats, I appreciate it. Thank you, and we will begin with our invocation, followed up with a pledge led by Councilwoman Gates. Our invocator this morning is Pastor Tom Lane. Pastor Lane is serves the Gateway Church in District 11 in Mr. Kleinman's district. He serves as the campus pastor for the Dallas campus and the lead executive pastor over the apostolic outreach ministries of the church. His ministry experience spans over 34 years in various ministries and roles. Tom has written several books. His latest one is with his wife, Jan. Tom and Jan have been married for 44 years. Congratulations. And have four married children and 15 grandchildren. You don't look that old. It's great to have you here. All stand.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning to each of you city council members and leaders of our city. Let's pray. Lord God, we honor you this morning. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice in it. We ask you for favor, guidance, and wisdom for our city and for the work of the city this day. We pray for your wisdom and blessing over our city leaders, over Mayor Rawlings, over our police chief, fire chief, city manager, for each of the city council members, and for those in positions of responsibility. Today, Lord, we ask that you'd meet the needs of our community to protect our city, to bless those working in service for our citizens, to bless our city with economic development and favor and blessing, peace and safety over our city, and for the relational sensitivity for all people and their beliefs. Lord, give us your peace in this city. Today, Lord, we lift up the decisions that will be made by this group. We pray, Lord, for the contracts being discussed, for the administration and city services. We pray, Lord, for justice for all of our citizens, for the decisions that relate to housing and the authority for housing. Lord, we ask you to guide and direct every decision today. We pray, Lord, for the recreation of our city, for our parks and recreation. And we pray, Lord, for the departments of our city that impact the growth of our city through permits and inspections. God, grant wisdom for every decision today. We agree, Lord, with your word that says that unless you build the house, we labor in vain to build it. And unless you watch over the city, even the watchman stays awake in vain. We're declaring this day that we need your presence, wisdom, protection, guidance, and blessing for our city and the people who reside here. Come now and guide these men and women in the performance of their duty that you have assigned to them and for which the citizens have elected them. In the mighty name of God, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mayor. Thank you. Would you, Mayor. You know what? Would everybody stand up again? Okay. The council will not be meeting the week of July 4th. And 1 year ago on July 7th, a tragedy happened to our city that none of us would ever have dreamed of. Our four police officers, Dallas police officers, and one DART police officer was brutally gunned down. We will all go our different ways after this meeting. And I just wanted to take a moment of silence to remember those that lost their lives and those that have scars forever because of that incident. Thank you. Please take a moment of silence. Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to thank Pastor Lane for coming and giving the invocation this morning. Resident of District 11, the church serves the community very nicely in that area, and they've been great neighbors with the surrounding community, and thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We are also at noon for everyone's invited. We will be have a special presentation from the Honorary Council of Sri Lanka, a flag presentation, and a brief courtesy meeting will take place at noon in the flag room. What we do is when we get new honorary councils, they bring their country flag, and this is why we have flags from all over the country. We don't have one from Sri Lanka, and so everybody's invited for that. Thank you. With that, we will take up our morning speakers.
All right, thank you. Our first five registered speakers are William Hopkins, James Dunn, Barbara Walker, Ken Novis, and Angela Hunt. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, or profane remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. You do have 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, our first speaker is William Hopkins.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas, before Mr. Hopkins. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sometimes we have unusual circumstances require unusual actions. And recently we had someone who's visiting our city from Fort Worth and came down and visited one of our local establishments, bars, and was denied entrance. And because of that, and those who were in who were was denied because of inappropriate attire, was told inappropriate attire. But once those who were already in there, they would dress very casual. And so some of you saw it on Channel 8 News. Tracy Burst is her name. Tracy's here, and she brought some other people who were with her at the time. And so I'm asking the council and mayor special permission. Tracy took off time from work, and they're millennials, and I'm sure they have to get back to work. It's special permission, council, if you would allow Tracy to be one of the morning speakers.
Well, let's see who the five here, and then I'll call a question. Okay? Thank you. Mr. Hopkins, you're up.
James Dunn?
No, he's Mr.
Will follow?
Yeah.
Right.
My run, did they hand out is the lawsuit? Did you get a copy?
Yes. Ron,
you did. I gave you the this copy 5 years ago of the lawsuit where the city of Dallas, the first sheet, Mayor Rollins, that they handed out to y'all, is where the city was explaining to us that the city wasn't involved. This first sheet on this lawsuit I gave y'all. The city stating that they wasn't involved in the lawsuit, in the RSR lawsuit. That's the first, on the first page. They wrote us and informed us that they wouldn't have nothing to do with the lawsuit in West Dallas, the RSR lawsuit. The second page is where the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the RSR lead plant. So the city had been telling the people in West Dallas that they didn't have nothing to do with the lawsuit. The second sheet is where the city and the state of Texas sued the RSR lead plant. Scott Griggs said that him and Tom Perkins was writing the federal government and talking to the federal government, letting them know that they was helping the people in West Dallas. Did you, Mayor Rawlings, you and Dwayne, can I, want me to stop, Mayor Rawlings? I can stop.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dunn.
I'm talking what you and Dwayne get through talking, man. Not stop talking. I'm trying you interrupting me. You and Dwayne is interrupting me, and I'm asking you, can I stop you and Dwayne get through talking, man?
What? Your time is up. Thank you.
Next speaker, James Dunn. Mr. Dunn will be followed by Barbara Walker, Ken Novis, and Angela Hunt.
Time is up. I got a minute and 20. Time is up. I got a minute and 20-something seconds.
Let's go. Mr. Dunn. Mr. Hopkins. Let's go.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
To the mayor, council, good morning. I'm James Dunn, Dignity Homeless Action Network. Reach me at redemptionready@outlook.com. Back in August, I came here with 250 of my homeless friends looking for housing. Then in February, I came back with 150 more looking for housing. Through hard work and perseverance, over 300 of these people, including me, now have permanent housing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, council, for your assistance. While I was working to acquire housing for homeless people, I met a downtown real estate entrepreneur who had a great idea. This person told me, James, why not go out to our churches and pair one homeless person with one church and help them find housing and navigate how to keep that housing? I thought that was a great idea. Today, I'm here to introduce you to Redemption Ready. I've been working to couple our churches with one homeless person each in order to lift the burden off the taxpayers. That's right. Redemption Ready wants to end homelessness through religious means. We've tried secular. Look where we got. Most of the homeless people you see on the street have already had a government apartment, food stamps, and a welfare check, yet many of them are back in shelters or on the streets in a matter of months. I think with the churches acting as a big brother or sister, we can produce healthy, self-dependent, independent people, people who support themselves 100% and who will not be dependent on Uncle Sam. I ask each of you to seek religious institutions in your districts, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindi, in interfaith to help Dignity Homeless make Redemption Ready a reality. If we start this program in January, we'll measure it for success 6 months later. If we get 300 churches to take on 300 people 6 months each year, we can make a big dent in homelessness. We can no longer afford to have human beings lost to the streets. In December, four homeless black men died in 4 weeks across the street from Austin Street Shelter, one per week from drug overdoses. When Austin Street employees, residents, and businesses finally got the vacant lot shut down where they had been, an open crack sales and use, the dealers simply moved a block away. They can be found dealing from cars in the 1600 block of Jeffries right now, a huge open-air crack den, one block from a police station. Our people need employment. Too many homeless people go for the quick money, such as going to the two DFW bridge clinics in Mesquite, pill mills that distribute enough opioids to kill 4,000 people every day. Homeless are paid around $100 each to take part in this organized crime. Medicaid fraud, pure and simple. They are desperate for money. They need good jobs. They need stability. That's where Redemption Ready comes in. Contact me at redemptionready@outlook.com. If Saul can become Paul, then everybody can become something.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Barva Walker.
Thank you very much.
Sir, if you please come forward to the podium.
Can you walk up here? Thank you so much.
Following Mr. Walker will be Ken Novis and Angela Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Council. I just came to say thank you, and particularly to the police department, for selecting me to do the monument. It's going to memorialize the five men that the mayor mentioned this morning that got killed. This will be sculpted this year, and the dedication will be a year from now on the second anniversary, July the 7th. If any of you have not seen what the monument will look like, I have a drawing here. I'll be happy to pass around. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Ken Novis?
I'm sorry. I thought it was Craig.
Angela Hunt will follow.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Thank you for having the opportunity to speak this morning. I'm Ken Novis, the new president of Dallas Summer Musicals, and I'm here with Laura Estrada, who's on our management board, and Nancy Natinsky, who's on our executive board. Some of you may have seen the upcoming season at Dallas Summer Musicals. It's a landmark year for the theater. And I can say with confidence that we will see shows like Hamilton, some of you may have seen on Broadway, and blockbusters from the current season on stage, as well as increasing activities at the Music Hall in the areas of top concerts and entertainment at the Music Hall. We are planning major increases in impact within the Dallas Independent School District, with education programs capitalizing on our Broadway shows, as well as partnering with Dallas educational and cultural organizations across the city, including our partners and our friends in Fair Park. We want to bring 500,000 people to the park every year. We want Dallas to know that the Music Hall is the premier entertainment venue in North Texas. As the largest year-round tenant at Fair Park, that's our pledge to you and the people of Dallas. However, to fulfill our pledge, please know that the grand lady that sits at the gateway to Fair Park needs work, and that has been deferred for many years. Our critical list of needs submitted for bond consideration in February was $3,640,000. Let's start Fair Park revitalization now with a $50 million bond proposition and show Dallas that this fabulous park that attracts millions each year and provides so many an oasis from life's daily stresses is the best investment a taxpayer can make. I recently went to hear retired Police Chief David Brown speak at the Windspear. A big thank you to our friends at the AT&T Performing Arts Center for having him there. And I'd like to close with a short quote from Chief Brown as it relates to the benefits of theater and to the Music Hall. He says, "The year was 1967. In those years, our school district emphasized the arts. Every child had to be in choir and theater. I'm going to lose all my street cred when I admit this, but in the third grade, I auditioned for and landed the role of Captain Von Trapp in The Sound of Music. Clad in military jacket and shiny gold buttons, I belted out a full-throated rendition of Climb Every Mountain." I'm sure we can all imagine what that was like. "Theater taught me how to convey a message. It brought me out of my shell. By the end of that school year, I went from reticent and aloof to comfortable in my skin. I felt as confident on stage as I did in the classroom." Well, we all know the rest of David Brown's amazing story. We must support the arts. We must support Fair Park. We must support the Music Hall, because by doing so, we are also supporting our collective future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Angela Hunt.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Angela Hunt, 500 North Ackard Street, Suite 3800. I'm here today representing Flowline Construction Company, and Eddie Hernandez, the owner, is here. Eddie? We came before you 2 weeks ago to present a zoning case. Eddie would like to build his headquarters in District 3 on some vacant property. It's undeveloped land, and we think there was a fundamental misunderstanding about the nature of his project, and we believe that's why there was an 8-6 vote to deny it. We're here today to ask for reconsideration so that we can bring this project back in August, and we can have additional community meetings, reach out to the neighborhoods. Once again, we've had 3 bilingual community meetings. We'd like to have another. There was a single neighbor who spoke against this project, Monica Tina Harrow. We have reached out to her and spoken with her and her husband, Luis, for the last 2 weeks. We've had great conversations. They're in support of moving forward and discussing this project. They believe that based on the commitments that Eddie has made, that it will be a good project. We would like to continue those conversations and bring this back to you to reconsider in August. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to reconsider item 69, zoning case Z167-171 from the June 14, 2017 City Council meeting.
Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second to reconsider. Any discussions?
Just briefly, if this motion is approved, the item...
Pull your mic down, Mr. Clement.
I'm sorry. If this motion is approved, the item itself will be placed on the August 9, 2017 City Council agenda for reconsideration per Section 7.6 of the City Council rules. No action can be taken on item 69 today because the zoning case is not on today's council agenda per the Texas Open Meetings Act.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. I'm in, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just restricting my comments to the question of whether we should reconsider this item, I strongly encourage colleagues to reconsider. I think that the concerns about neighborhood apprehension about the project have been adequately addressed, at least to the point that it's worth having another discussion in August. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank Councilman Kingston for those comments. I've had a chance to visit also with Eddie, and we want to make sure that he, first of all, want to make sure everyone understands he's a contract of color. He's a Latino nationality, and so there was some issue with that. There's been a commitment to partner with the regional black contractors on doing work on this project so it can be, he's already shown me exactly what it's going to look like, very quality. To have someone, and I said this, to build a headquarters in Southern Dallas, of their business, bring the headquarters to Southern Dallas, is beneficial to Dallas as a whole. I asked my colleagues that voted in opposition that you support reconsideration of this. We're also going to have a community meeting. I will be present. And any of you that will be interested, come. We'll make sure that you're aware of it so you can hear from the neighbors personally how they see that this will be beneficial to that community. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. I had concerns about this, and I didn't support it last time. But I did get a new packet that was sent to my office and said that the woman that came in opposition is now in support. Definitely would like to see her at that meeting. So I'm thinking about reconsidering as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes, I'd like to speak in favor of the motion. I've had an opportunity to review the packet. I believe that economic development is very much needed in the southern sector. I believe that this is a quality project. I believe there was only one person in opposition, and I think that we should go forward with this and with the reconsideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'll defer to Casey if he wants to continue to work the neighbors. I voted in opposition to this, and I'll tell you why, and this is what, before I could reconsider changing my vote, would be a better understanding of the packet that was sent to us. There was a lot of information about this is what could have been built, and I'm like, that's what's marked there, and it hasn't been built, and I don't want to use that as a scare tactic, and I think that's the resident that came forward. When someone shows up at their door and they have a notary there and they want an affidavit that someone's in support and they say, this could be in your backyard, but if not, then this is what we're going to provide. That scares people, and I don't like that tactic. And that really bothered me when that was presented. I'm assuming that the material you gave us was what you were sharing with the neighbors. So I want to understand and make sure that the neighbors recognize that's what's allowed. No one's proposing that, and if it's allowed now and it hasn't happened, it's probably not going to happen because if there was a market for it, it already would happen. And let's just be transparent with the neighbors. And if you can go work and make sure that they understand that and they're not coming down here fearful that they're going to be, you know, that they have to say yes to this because that won't happen. So if that community meeting, if that's, you know, shared, that will make me feel a little bit better about it. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take a record vote.
Please cast your vote. Mr. Mayor, with all 15 members of the City Council present and all voting in favor, the motion carries.
Thank you. I am in the mood to approve Mr. Thomas's request for another speaker, but my head says no because this thing's going to start up. Everybody gets to bring whoever they want in. But if it's the will of the council, a show of hands that want that extra speaker. One, two, okay. We'll have Ms. Burst. Thank you.
And for the record, Ms. Gallimore did cancel. 3 minutes, ma'am. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning. My name is Tracy Burst. I'd like to thank you for offering us the opportunity to visit with you to inform you of the systematic discrimination that has been going on far too long at the Dallas Trophy Room Bar. One night on Saturday, June 17, 2017, me and two other African-American girlfriends decided to enjoy a night out in Dallas. We arrived to the Trophy Room Bar and approached a bouncer by the name of Mitchell Maggard. We handed in our IDs, and we was immediately told, "Sorry, you're dressed too casual. It's out of our dress code. We can't let you in." While hearing this, we immediately looked around to see that there were other people, men and women, majority were non-minorities with casual attire on, for an example, a t-shirt. We knew then this was not about clothing, it was about the color of our skin. As me and two other friends had on high heels, blouses, and mid-length skirts. We asked him, "How is it that we're too casual?" He then switched it up to the bar being at capacity and said, "We can refuse anybody we want." We then stepped off the premises but continued to watch as they denied entry to other African-American groups of women and men, telling them the similar excuse that they were out of dress code or too casual, as those other groups were actually dressed more like the people inside and not in dressy attire as me and my friends were. Now, as you can see from the chart that I provided, there is no true dress code here. They let people in with tennis shoes and crop tops on, as their female staff wears them with cutoff shorts as a uniform. Other women wore off-the-shoulder blouses similar to what my friend Ashley Jordan had on. The only other difference was that the color of our skin, pretty much. The next day, my friend Stephanie Tavares reached out to the owner of this establishment, Jeremiah Miranda, via his Facebook establishment page, and he said that he wasn't aware of such behavior, but that he also told us that night five African-American men had beat up a bouncer. And my friend replied, "Okay, but what does that have to do with us?" There are racial complaints from other minorities and African-Americans, especially, that date all the way back to October 2016 and are posted on the establishment's Facebook page, and the owner has never reached out or said anything about it. And we're in 2017 now, so he's failed to change any discriminating business practices. This type of behavior, it shouldn't be tolerated and it shouldn't be allowed. I urge you to take action and see the short-term goals regarding the termination of Mitchell Maggard for his discriminative behavior, as well as a public apology from the owner, Jeremiah Miranda, be met, as well as the long-term goals you see on the paper of the Trophy Room Bar, providing a prominent display of dress code policy at the establishment on all their websites, and for there to be diversity training for all employees, including the owner, conducted by a third party. Me and my friends were discriminated against, but today we are here for anyone else that has been treated unfairly and discriminated against by a place like the Trophy Room Bar due to the color of their skin. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas, do you have a question? Remember, this is questions only. We're not in a big discussion here.
Right. Well, I do want to do is just make a statement that I appreciate her having the courage to stand up and say something about this and then to give a plan instead of just complaining. But I would like Beverly, if she could, Beverly Davis and Fire Housing, to come forward to tell us, you know, what the next step is, and then we can go forward with the agenda. And this will not be tolerated in the city of Dallas. Thank you for coming down and informing us about this.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway?
Yeah. Just question. Thank you for coming down. We got you. Does this particular bar have an SUP?
Councilman Carraway, I'm not familiar with any of the zoning issues. I'm here to speak to...
It does not, Dwayne.
It does not have an SUP.
Okay. Right. I'm Beverly Davis with the Office of Fair Housing and Human Rights, and I'm here to advise that we do have a city ordinance that prohibits discrimination in places of public accommodations based on dress codes, as a basis, a pretext for racial or other types of prohibited discrimination. And I have talked with Ms. Burst about filing a complaint and provided the way to file that complaint. She's been provided the forms to file the complaint, and we will be pursuing an investigation to ensure that the message is sent that the city of Dallas does not tolerate this type of discrimination. And I would like to add that we have done training in the past with some of the clubs in the uptown area, and we will continue to do that, offer those services, and make sure that that they are advised of what the city laws are in this regard.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to also point out that there's a new business association on McKinney that is offering similar training that would probably be a useful thing. May I address Mr. Carraway?
Please.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Carraway, you recall that when we had a similar allegation at a different bar in Uptown, you and I went and investigated, and we had to have a couple of drinks to do a thorough investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that on this one. There are other issues here, and I'll explain to you later. Thank you, okay. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say I appreciate Ms. Burst coming forward, having the courage to come forward with her complaint. I happen to be the vice president of the Dallas branch of the NAACP, and if you feel a need to come and reach out to us, please do so. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll move on to our agendas. Before we do, we've got two interns from the city attorney's office. If you'll stand, they're from the UNT Law School. It's great to have you, Devin Alexander and Raphael Johnson. So thank you for interning here in Dallas, and it's great to have you part of this. And you'll see government in action today, all right? Hopefully good one. Good, okay? Thank you. Just since this is our first full council meeting, let me kind of tell you how I do things here. So if you're a chairman of a committee and the item came through the committee, I will call the chairman for the motion first. And if it isn't, if it didn't come through a committee and it's in your district, I will call you for the motion. And then we'll get the motion on the table, then we'll discuss, even with pulled items. If Mr. Carraway pulls something but it's in Mr. Griggs' district, or Mr. Griggs' committee, I'll call for Mr. Griggs, and then Mr. Carraway can talk. So that's the way we'll do it. With that, we will begin our items. Thank you, Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item number one is approval of minutes of the June 14, 2017 City Council meeting.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll
thank
take
you
up addendum item five. Mr. Thomas needs to leave, so we want to take that item up that was in this morning. So we'll take that up. Ms. Rios.
Addendum item number five is consideration of appointment to the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Board of Directors for positions 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and position 1, which is currently vacant.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. The Transportation Trinity River Project Committee's recommendation is to appoint the following four individuals to the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Board: Patrick Kennedy, John Bertrell Killen, Amanda Moreno Lake, and Catherine Cuellar, who will serve as a shared member with the City of Cockrell Hill and representative of the Transportation Disadvantage, and that the Council determine from the remaining nine nominees who shall fill the three remaining places. I move the committee's recommendation with the four nominees to be appointed for the full 2017-2019 term to begin July 1st, 2017 and end June 30th, 2019, as outlined in the resolution to this item.
We got a motion and a second. Discussion? Mr. Carraway. No, okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. All right, we'll take up the recommendation of the Transportation Committee by choosing the other three with a ballot. I ask you to put your name and the three that you want to vote for. We will, mathematically, we could have four. You've got to have eight to get on the council, to get on the board, and we mathematically could have four folks to get eight. If that happens, I will ask that a ballot be developed with just those four, and we will choose the top folks out of that. If there are only two, we will take a ballot with everybody else and choose the last one. So, thank you.
Please raise your ballot after you've cast your vote.
All Is everybody turned in the ballot? Okay. We will continue with the other items, and then we'll have Ms. Rios come back.
Thank you. We'll now move to our consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 48 and addendum items 1 through 3. Agenda item 21 was pulled by Councilmember Gates, and agenda item 29 was pulled by Councilmember Atkins. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 20, 22 through 28, items 30 through 48, and addendum items 1 through 3.
Move approval.
Second. And a motion is second. Mayor. Any discussion? Mr. Callahan.
I want to make sure that item 56 was deferred on the consent. I just made that request earlier.
Item 56 is a zoning item and will be taken up in the afternoon.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to agenda item 21. Item 21, authorize one, a local project advance funding agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, to establish responsibilities for the design build of the Southern Gateway Public Green for the deck structure for phase one and foundations for phase one and phase two. Two, an operation and maintenance agreement with TxDOT for Southern Gateway Public Green. Three, an airspace lease agreement with TxDOT for the use of the surface area and airspace over Interstate Highway 35E corridor from Marcellus Avenue to Ewing Avenue for the Southern Gateway Public Green. And four, a memorandum of understanding with the Regional Transportation Council, RTC, regarding the use of transportation development credits, TDCs, to cover the local match commitment for the Southern Gateway Public Green. Again, this item was pulled by Councilmember Gates. However, we do have two registered speakers on the item. The first speaker is Lester Houston. Mr. Houston, when you come forward, you will be given 3 minutes to speak. When you'll notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop and address your comments only to Mayor Rawlings. You may begin.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll be brief. My name is Lester Houston. I reside at 1403 Whitaker Avenue. I am president of the Zoo Creek Park Community Neighborhood Association, which consists of Trinity Heights, Brentwood, Trinity Heights, Cedar Haven, Glenwood, and Marcellus Manor. My family moved to this neighborhood 59 years ago. Our neighborhood association consists of 5.7 square miles, from Illinois to Corinth to Marcellus to Clarendon. In my opinion, some of the most prime real estate in the southern sector of Dallas. We 100% support the deck park. We also support, in order for this deck park to work, Ewing must become a complete street from Jefferson to Illinois. That's imperative. You know, some 35 years ago, we lost Thomas Hill Park. Thomas Hill Park was a 40 or 50 acre park where our elephants and giraffes roam today. I grew up in that park playing football and baseball. That park was annexed by the zoo some 35 years ago for expansion. We want this deck park in our community where we can expand. Why do we want this deck park? We believe that this deck park will encourage economic development, will help us improve zoning issues in our area. I believe this deck park will also help us create more tax increment zones where we can encourage developers to come to this area. I drove here from my house. It took me 3 minutes. With 3 minutes from Bishop Arts, I'm 3 minutes from downtown, I'm 3 minutes from uptown. It's long overdue. Also, we believe that this park will improve the quality of life in this area. And lastly, we're hoping that this park encourages more middle-income people to move back to these areas. We can't function as a community unless we can encourage middle-income people to come back and spend discretionary funds to support businesses. And lastly, the voters in District 4 have spoken. Please help us develop this deck park. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Paul Cardin. Mr. Harding, you will be given 3 minutes to speak. The time is at your podium.
Thank you. My name is Paul Cardin. My address is 5003 Bryan Street. Good morning, Mayor Rawlings and City Council. I'm here today to express my support for the Southern Gateway Public Green. It has been over 2 years since I became involved with the Southern Gateway Project. Ever since the Eggs and Issues meeting hosted by Senator West in March of 2015, I have attended almost every meeting I can access regarding the Southern Gateway Project. Myself and other residents in Districts 1, 3, 4, and 8 felt that the highway project we were shown at that time, with excessive right-of-way, poor connectivity, and tolls, while mostly benefiting the suburbs, was unacceptable. So a few of us got together with ideas, research, and Photoshop and proposed what we felt was a more equitable project for Oak Cliff. We proposed better pedestrian connections, looked for where we could minimize right-of-way, and made suggestions to reduce noise and air pollution, all while improving connectivity between the east and west sides of Oak Cliff. One major piece of that was a proposal for a park by the zoo to help reunite the two sides divided by I-35 over half a century ago. A little over 2 years later, and what was once considered by many to be a dream is now so close to becoming a reality. There seems to be little doubt among the public that the park would guide the river of opportunity and revitalization into this part of Oak Cliff. However, a few are concerned that the river of opportunity will become an uncontrolled flood of gentrification that replaces the economic drought of the area with a wave of investment that pushes aside and washes away the existing community. I understand and share those concerns, but I believe that you, Mayor and City Council, have the tools and knowledge to control and guide that river of opportunity without stopping it. You can use tools such as stronger homestead exemptions, mixed income housing requirements, neighborhood stabilization overlays, and mixed use zoning. Many of you already have experience with these tools in your own neighborhoods. But just like canals and levees aren't very useful if there is no water, these tools aren't very useful if there is no opportunity. The 10th Street neighborhood already has historic protections, and there is no owner that owns dozens of single family homes in the area. The ownership is very fragmented, and so the benefits should be widespread. The park is also within walking range of a DART rail station, so it will continue to provide easy multimodal access to a variety of people and incomes. I support this project. Let's build this park. Let's use this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. That's your final registered speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Before we get this item on the record, our three other council DART board appointees are Mr. Jackson, Ms. Krause, and Ms. Torres. So we'll do that. Mr. Kleinman, do you want to make a motion on item number 21?
Yes, Mayor. I'd like to defer to Mayor Pro Tem Carraway on this item.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, and I would like to defer to Ms. Gates. She's the one that pulled it.
Well, we need to get the item
to make
on
the motion.
Oh, okay.
I'll make the motion to make approval
for the deck park at the zoo.
We got a motion and a second. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I'm going to support this, but I know I was on transportation, so I didn't hear the entire briefing related to it. I did have a chance to sit down with staff to understand kind of what we're voting on today. And I do have some heartburn in the fact that we're out there putting $7 million, committing it before we've committed to even go forward with the bond. I know we're going to do that today, the bond package, and I think this is going to be a project that's included in the bond package, but we haven't given the voters the opportunity to vote on it yet. And yet we are contractually agreeing to and obligating ourselves to that $7 million. I know there's a little bit, if Majid or could explain, I think there's some flexibility that if this project wouldn't be able to go forward, what we could do with that $7 million. But that's really where I have some concern. Could you explain what happens?
Mayor,
and then the other part of that is if you could explain how much money we still need to raise to make this really come to light quickly.
Mayor and council members, good morning. For this specific item, we're actually proposing to use transportation development credits in advance. That's about $7.1 million, and that's our match to the $28-plus million that the Council of Government is providing for us. This transportation development credit, again, is just a kind of a mechanism for us to be able to advance the city's match in order to keep up with the timeline that TxDOT is going forward with, and that's in reconstructing a very large highway with $650 million worth of improvements. The specific scope of work is for the foundation and half a deck park, and that's in the amount of about $35 to $37 million. What we need for the entire deck park is roughly about $135 million, and that would include $40 million in amenities.
Okay, so what are we getting with this money, the $7 million cobbled with the COG money?
So
we're getting the structure, the possibility that we can build it, correct?
So we're getting the foundation as well as half of the deck.
Half of the deck, but it's a cement deck. There will be no improvements at this point.
That would be correct for phase one.
Okay, so, and I know, we're being transparent. It's phase one, and I'm going to support my colleagues, Mr. Griggs and Mr. Carraway, for their vision for their districts. This is important, just like I expect their support of visions for my district. But it is going forward, and we're all, you know, excited about it. And I, you know, it was pushed through in the bond package, and we're dreaming big. And I get Dallas is always like to dream big, but I just want to be extremely transparent what we're getting with this, and then the expectations going forward. I don't want it to be another project, and like we've heard from so many people complain about in the past, you know, somebody's dream, and then it's in there, and then we're looking at a slab of concrete. We can't do anything more, so we come back to the council, and we're saying it's going to cost us more, and then we're going to take more money out of whatever other pocket, and we can't provide money for public safety, or we can't provide other park money, or you know, whatever, we're going to have to make that work. I love the tools that you're talking about, but we haven't been able to utilize all those tools in the past. And those tools, a lot of those tools cost money. So then, you know, that's just, we're going to have to face that. That money, that's money out of general fund when we start talking about tax credits and economic incentives for developers to come in and develop. And that's more money that we can't spend on public safety or whatever it might be. So that's where I get some real concerns, is this doing business the way we've always done business before, having these big dreams, going forward, not understanding the implications, and we'll make it different this time. And I'm just not sure that that's going to happen. And now Mr. Griggs and Mr. Carraway have kind of a, you know that this is what their constituents want, but it's going to come with a lot of, you know, I don't know how it's going to be much different than some of the pains that we experienced when we went west with the bridge, or how we spent other bond money in the past, or when we put a horse park and then we couldn't get all the money for the horse park, so the city came back with more money. We need to kind of recognize this leap of faith that we're taking with creating an infrastructure with a piece of cement, and we don't really have the rest of the $90 million to build the deck park. So is it something we as a council are ready to take that leap? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me first say I appreciate the two speakers that came before us, Paul and Lester, you two gentlemen. And let me be on record to say that we've not spoken. I had no idea that you all were going to come. You're welcome, because this is our and your city hall. I had no idea that this item was going to be pulled off the consent agenda until late yesterday evening when Council Member Casey Thomas and I were having at an event. I would ask that colleagues, what we've just discussed, that is a question that probably could have been answered in our own office and not necessarily to the public. This is our district. This is our opportunity. This has been something that we've been fighting for. And I'm appalled at the fact that every time something is coming and is directed toward Southern Dallas, it has to go through such a microscopic review and to be defined in such a manner that is really detrimental to the unity of this city. It was a $1 million dog park built out in North Dallas, and we didn't comb through it. And it has waterfalls and everything for the little dogs. I love it. But we don't comb through that type of stuff. What if I just today decide, well, I'm just going to pull my support from the tollway and everything else that's been proposed? Because people are coming over. You don't want South to have anything. We got to be reviewed. I don't like the minority participation that we have to go through. Because when I go and when minorities go to get our minority certification, we have to show our driver's license. We have to show our bank account, our bank statements. We have to give our Social Security numbers. When others don't do that, it's always a review that should not be. And I'm not going to sit here and continue to just allow the review and to be carrying my predecessor's water because she doesn't like the dog park, the deck park, and she wants to call it a rec park. And she sit here and has misled the District 4 constituents. As you can see, 84% of the people in District 4 wants this dog, I'm calling it a dog, I'm stuck on this dog, on this deck park. 84% of our constituency. And we do not stage anything. I mean, the Lord is working to have these two gentlemen to come down professionally on their own to testify and to give an open testament of what the benefits of this deck park will do for our community, how it will increase, and how it would do the things that we've been so long waiting for. I was talking to a particular council member just last night, and we were talking about this deck park, and this council member told me, if you don't want it, we will take it over on 635, and I don't call Adam Rue's name, but this is something that is recognizable that we will have a benefit. And Mayor, we're growing. You're talking about growing South. This is it. This is the greatest thing that can happen. This is the greatest thing for 10th Street. The greatest thing for the zoo. And you don't have a representative that's sitting on his behind, not doing nothing and missing meetings because the community was misinformed. Let's be real clear. That representative sat in this seat before me, missed the meetings and would not go. Missed the meetings. So let's understand that if you miss the meeting, you cannot communicate to your constituents the values and the opportunities that this deck park will present. So I'm going to put it out there, and I'm not going to be long. I'm going to try to stop in 58 seconds. I'm watching the mayor. I told you I was going to be a new Dwayne. But here's the deal. I want you all to know. We will find this money, Scott Griggs. We will find this money, and we will enjoin North and South and East of Oak Cliff together as one. It will look just like Clyde Warren Park. It will operate like the Clyde Warren Park, and then we will still do other great things for the city of Dallas. But we're going to keep our community first, and I'm not going to go through any more staging and anybody trying to come down and nitpick. And the old representative is gone. The new visionary person is back. We're going to do the deck park. We're going to do the Trinity River bottom. We're going to do the fair park. We're going to do every doggone thing that we're trying to do to keep this city great. And I'm going to be behind it 100%. I guess I'll stop for now, just in case.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway. Ms. Kingston?
Mr. Mayor, I'll limit my comments because I agree with most of what Dwayne said. The one thing I wanted to point out is that at Mr. Carraway's suggestion, I drove Clarendon and Ewing, and I would encourage really everyone in the city of Dallas to drive Clarendon and Ewing. Those are good neighborhoods. Those are good citizens of Dallas, good taxpayers. But it is very, very clear that they have been deprived of the basic infrastructure of city dwelling, and that's not fair. They pay their taxes. They deserve to have basic amenities. I've been very privileged to speak with Mr. Carden about his ideas for developing the neighborhood that will be able to preserve the residents in place while bringing new investment to the neighborhood. That's a tricky proposition, and you need somebody with technical expertise. Mr. Carden is one of the people who has that kind of expertise. I've driven the neighborhood several times with Monty Anderson, who's another person who I think has great ideas for organic development that will not produce the sort of gentrification effects that we've seen in West Dallas. I think if you drive Clarendon and Ewing, $7.1 million is like the low end of what you're thinking about for these neighborhoods. Like I say, they're great places with great people, but they have been historically discriminated against in terms of the spending that this building has done to make the neighborhoods more livable. And that's got to stop. And there are more neighborhoods like that. It's not just them. I'm going to, when you all identify neighborhoods in your districts that are missing those, you know, I call them those five basic elements: streets, sidewalks, storm drains, adequate lighting, adequate code, and adequate police protection, I don't know how I'm going to deny or oppose a request to fix those basic things. Parks are another thing that neighborhoods will not do well without. So I think this is a terrific start for these neighborhoods, and I couldn't be happier to see this go forward. Let me say one more word about the confidence I have in the group that is raising the money for the privately funded portion of the deck park. The team that raised the money for Clyde Warren is on board for the deck park in the Southern Gateway. That I have met with them, with Scott, with the new developers who are sort of leading the charge, but they're there. John Zog is ready to go. He's ready to make calls for this project, and he's given the playbook to Barry Hancock and Phil Wise, I have very high confidence that all of that money will be raised. And the reason we know that this is going to work is because the community actually wants it, and that's the difference between this and the horse park. You know, the community down there didn't want any horse park. The community down there is the Pemberton Hill neighborhood that's missing those five things that we just talked about, and instead they got a horse park. The community wants this. I have never seen a TxDOT project that looked so bad when it first started, and by the time the community had worked on it and Mr. Carraway and Mr. Griggs had worked on it, it actually looks like a transformative project now. I mean, the level of improvement in that project is quite vast. I would urge everyone, if you've got a highway project that's proposed for one of your neighborhoods, get with the people who worked on Southern Gateway and see how you turn a plain vanilla destructive TxDOT project into something that can actually work in a community. We're starting to do better on this stuff in the city of Dallas. We're starting to understand that mobility issues are neighborhood development issues. They are housing issues. They are equity issues. And it's not just a way to get from point A to point B. I appreciate your work on this, Mr. Carraway, and thank you for the time, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. This is such a great day, not only for the communities east and west of 35 and District 1 and District 4, but for the city of Dallas and for TxDOT. TxDOT has been a great partner in this. Part of this process, when we first sat down with TxDOT, and this was back in 2013, when I sat down with Councilmember Carraway, is TxDOT needed to change the way they were building roads. And we sat down with community leaders, Mr. Lester Houston, Mr. Paul Carden, others who told us the stories of their family's displacement when I-35 was originally built, Helen Hartz, for example. And we talked about the damage that I-35 did to the community. When TxDOT many years ago went in using eminent domain and essentially bulldozed an entire neighborhood, evicting the community that was there from where they lived and scattering them about. And we shared these stories with TxDOT, with people who knew firsthand, who lived it. For example, Helen Hartz, who was at the time, she was a young child, and it was her grandmother's house, and the other stories from people who had relatives and who were alive when it happened. And we said, we got to do this project different. And we talked about how not to use eminent domain to take people's houses. We talked about how the road needed to be no higher and no wider, just like what was done on LBJ. We talked about how some of it needed to be cantilevered, just like Central Expressway was. We talked about how there needed to be sound walls, just like on the North Dallas Tollway. We talked about how we needed pavement that would reduce the noise and ensure the quality of life for the surrounding neighbors, just like the roads built up now in Plano and Frisco. And we talked about how this road had damaged and torn apart a community, and we wanted to bring a deck park to stitch back together Oak Cliff east and west of I-35. And TxDOT and the COG, this is also a great day for the COG and for Michael Morris, who helped out quite a bit on this project. Everyone agreed that we needed to change the building practices for how we build these interstate highways in urban areas. And so not only is this a great day for the communities that are going to be on the east and west side, but this is a good day for Dallas, for the COG, and for TxDOT, because this represents going forward the next generation of how highways are going to be built in the city of Dallas. We are not going to do it the old way, as things were done in southern Dallas, where you would build a road and you would forget to put entrances and exits to the mall, where you would build a road and you would build it straight through a neighborhood, destroying a neighborhood. And for inexplicable reasons, you would put various curves in it and just make it hard to drive. And so that's what this represents today, a new standard that we are going to hold TxDOT, that we are going to hold ourselves, the city, to, and that we're going to hold COG to when we build roads. And we're going to use this standard when we go to North Dallas and build roads, when we go over and we look at I-35 near Fair Park and in East Dallas, how that will be redone. These practices will be used. So thank you for not only what you've done to at least partially begin to make right the damage that was done so many years ago when I-35 was built, but also for your contribution in the future to how we're going to build roads in other neighborhoods and make things better. So thank you very much for your leadership, and thank you, Duane, for your support on this. And then I'd like to actually call for a record vote on this. I think this is so important that we have support for this deck park. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor. And if I can take a point of personal privilege and address Mayor Pro Tem Carraway directly.
Thank you.
You promised us the new Duane wasn't going to take a whole long time on these things when you got 8 votes.
I only took 5 minutes. I had 10.
Okay, well, that's, you're right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. And then briefly, I am also very pleased to have worked on this project, not only on behalf of District 4 and District 1, but really on behalf of the entire city of Dallas. I do believe that much as the zoo has become quite the destination location, this will just enhance as a further destination park for the whole city, while still maintaining the neighborhood element to support the neighborhoods in the surrounding areas. I appreciate the neighborhood folks coming out. I met with you guys at previous meetings and neighborhood meetings, and I'm excited about it. To Mr. Griggs' point about how to build highways within urbanized areas, the City Map project was kind of the leader in this area. We were a little bit ahead of the game on the Southern Gateway Public Green, but really that influenced a lot of what's going on City Map. Much of the state of Texas is looking at what we did in City Map and looking at how we treat people in urbanized area and address mobility. And the reason I use the word mobility as opposed to transportation is really getting from one point to another, you know, getting from Abilene to Fort Davis or whatever. But mobility is getting around the urbanized area. And this is a very important component. and making sure that we provide the mobility we need while having the minimal amount of impact on the surrounding neighborhoods and actually improving the impact that the original highway had, as Mr. Griggs pointed out. So thank you guys very much. We do have to watch our costs on this, and we have to make sure that the money's there. But I'm excited to see this project. We have kind of a once in every 50 to 100 years opportunity when a highway gets completely rebuilt to do something like this. So I'm excited to be supporting it.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
I'll be quick in second round. I pulled it because I wanted – I started my comments, Mr. Carraway, by saying I was going to support it because I'm going to support your dreams and your districts, and you've done the homework about getting the neighbors behind the project. I'm just expressing the caution, to, like Mr. Kleinman said, of the money going forward. We've been told that this is going to be a catalyst to bring the private dollars forward, the people that got behind Clyde Warren Park. And that's what I just want to set those expectations out, that that's what we're expecting. We're not expecting the city to come forward and pour more money in the project itself. So I know you guys are great marketers for the area, and you care about the area and care about protecting the current residents. So that's, I'm just being on record on that. And then when we move forward, with this dream and the way we're seeing infrastructure develop throughout the city, that we do it, and it's still in a fiscally, you know, conservative, I don't know if you could call this project that, but in a manner that we're you know, investing into Dallas, into all of Dallas, for the return of the good of the entire city. So thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to say that I had been voting against this. I will vote for this, but I also want to say I think Ms. Gates had some points well made.
Thank you. The only thing I want to add is congratulations. A lot of hard work by a lot of people, Mr. Kleinman, Mr. Griggs, Mr. Carraway. Thank you so much, and everybody that supported from a neighborhood standpoint. It is imperative that we get bond money for this thing, okay? So we're going to be voting for bonds later, okay? So let's not get out over our skis, citizens, and be voting for this upfront money and not go to the second act without bond money, because we got real issues if that happens. So just these things come together. So everybody get behind the bond when we go there. We'll take a record vote.
Please cast your vote. All have voted. Mr. Mayor, with all 15 members of the City Council present and all voting in favor, the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Great day. Mr. Kleinman, we have one more piece of business to do on addendum number five.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. We need to appoint a partial term for position one, and based on the ballot count of Ray Jackson, 15, Michelle Juan Krause, 13, and Dominic Torres, 9, I would like to make a motion that the appointment for position one for the partial term of 2016-2018 term to begin June 28, 2017, and end June 30th, 2018, be assigned to Dominic Torres.
Q, do we have a second? Anybody? We got a second. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. Item 29. Have we worked that out, Ms. Thomas, before you leave? Okay. Ms. Grayson.
I need to read the 29. Item, Mr. Mayor. I need to read the item, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, please.
Agenda item number 29 is authorize an increase in the contract with North Star Construction LLC to add increased scope of work associated with the Runyon Creek Trail located between Glendale Park to the new Singing Hills Recreation Center. Council Member Atkins, pull the item.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson now.
Sorry.
I move to defer this item to the first council meeting in August, first voting agenda, August 9th.
He was asked for the second.
To August 2nd? Oh, to the second voting agenda meeting? I'm sorry, I was told it was the 9th. So to the second voting agenda meeting in August.
August
23. Okay, August 23. Do we have a second? Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We move now to agenda item number 49. That is your boards and consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have for full council appointment to the Cultural Affairs Commission, adjunct members Arthur Santa Maria, nominated by Council Member Callahan. Mr. Santa Maria meets the interested citizen qualification, and the appointment will end September 30, 2017. For individual appointments to the Citizen Homeless Commission, you have Wendy Conrad, nominated by Council Member Callahan, and meets the experience with homelessness. William Casey McMenamin is nominated by Council Member Gates and meets the general public qualification. Ken W. Webb is nominated by Mayor Rawlings and meets the general public qualification. And the appointment end date will be September 30, 2019 for these members.
Thank you. Can we have a motion to approve? We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Anybody opposed? Motion is carried. This was 49. Okay. Well,
goodness, it's just been busy. So this is boards and commissions?
Yes.
Okay, my question is there going to be a meeting of the Citizens Homeless Commission in July?
I'll need to defer to the city manager's office on that. The board can start meeting when they have 6 members.
We do not have a chairman yet. That'll come next week, and that'll...
Well, it's because my nominee apparently has some sort of problem, and I nominated her weeks ago, and I don't want her to miss the first meeting, but I don't know what the problem is.
I'll take it offline, okay?
Okay.
I'll type it in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Item number 50.
Agenda item number 50 is authorized number 1, the Love Field Airport Modernization Corporation, LFAMC, to enter into the second supplemental trust indenture with Wells Fargo to allow funds from the Love Field Airport Modernization Corporation, the City of Dallas or Southwest Airlines Company to be deposited to the credit of the LFAMC construction account held in trust by Wells Fargo Bank National Association to pay costs related to the expansion of the checked baggage reconciliation area. And number 2, the transfer of $8,853,000 from the Aviation Capital Construction Fund to the LFAMC to be used as project funds for the design and construction of the CBRA expansion.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 51 was deleted on the addendum. Item number 52 is authorized an increase in the homestead property tax exemption for persons who are disabled or 65 or older from $64,000 to $90,000 beginning with the 2018 tax year, fiscal year beginning October 1, 2017.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
Motion and second. Discussion. Ms. Gates.
Oh, sorry.
Ms. Grayson.
Yes, could I have Ms. Raich come up to the podium, please?
I'm supposed to have language on the escalation clause.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Raich, did you do those calculations that were requested by one of the citizens?
Yes, and so we have been gathering data from the 4 appraisal districts and trying to make sense of that data and make sure that it's an apples-to-apples comparison among the 4 districts so that we could get you that. I just now have some preliminary numbers in front of me. I wasn't able to provide those ahead of time. And so what the citizen asked and what Ms. Grayson asked me to look at was what is the stratification of value, meaning how many parcels might be affected by a change like this, and how many might be at higher values where perhaps you would want to have a conversation. So when we looked at the 4 appraisal districts, it appears that right now We have about maybe 12,000 parcels that are going to fall under our current exemption as totally exempt. And when you move that up, we're going to capture another probably 20,000 that will have a much increased exemption, some totally exempt, some not quite, but they're within that range where they would be greatly benefited by an exemption going up to 90,000. In terms of parcels over about $140,000, which would, of course, benefit from the exemption, but are potentially your higher value or are your higher value homes, that's probably about half or close to half of the parcels in this population. And so I want to be able to scrub the data a little bit and to provide this in writing so that you understand. But it looks like, to summarize, about half of the parcels probably are at an value above about 140,000, that those parcels that are below 140,000 will benefit greatly from this, and that we'll see probably about perhaps 30 to 40,000 parcels that will be, you know, either totally exempt or close to it.
Thank you, Ms. Raich, for that information. It wasn't very much time that we gave you in order to gather all of that. And, you know, my concern was just that we would be giving a tax break to people who were very, very comfortable and didn't really need the tax break. I understand that there are a lot of people who really need this tax break, and we want to give it to them. I also know we can't delay this until we can scrub that information a little more, because I believe that we have to get this to the appraisal districts by the end of July. So is it possible that if we were to look at this data a little bit further after we vote to approve this today, that in the future we could, of course, it's very hard to walk something back once you've given it. It just makes me a little uncomfortable. I mean, we're going to be foregoing about, what, 14, no, 20-some million dollars?
About almost $14 million.
$14 million.
Split between the general fund and the debt service fund. But, yes, about $14 million.
And I certainly, as I said, want to give it to those people who actually need this relief. They very much need this relief, the seniors who could be priced out of their homes. So I will vote for it, but I'm very concerned about giving a tax break to people who are very, very comfortable and really don't need it. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to amend the motion to index it for inflation on an annual basis. So it would include it would include beginning of the year 2018 tax, fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2018, the City Council shall adjust the homestead exemption for persons who are disabled or 65 or older according to the latest annual CPI.
Is that a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Okay, she accepts it. Who seconded? Mr. Atkins?
Felder.
What's that?
Council Member Felder.
Oh, Felder. Did you want to accept that? Okay, thank you. Okay, discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is I very much appreciate Ms. Gates bringing this through Budget, Finance, and Audit. This is one of those areas where we need to do this in order to protect seniors' ability to age in place. Supposedly one of the benefits of the way we fund government in Texas, primarily through ad valorem property taxes, is that properties are returned to the development cycle much faster than they would be if they weren't burdened by the level of taxes they are. And you can really see a comparison between us and California when they have a much lower property tax rate, and I think they have kind of a slower development cycle there for real estate. The downside is that as people age and their incomes become fixed or reduced which, a lot of us will face that. They become very vulnerable to exactly what we were talking about earlier in terms of the effects of gentrification. As their values rise, they get forced out of their neighborhoods. And it's bad for them, but it's also bad for neighborhoods. Neighborhoods benefit greatly from having seniors in them. They remember the history of the neighborhood and how it got there. They serve as kind of glue, social glue for neighborhood groups. I mean, trying to get people, younger people, to come down to city council meetings to bird dog zoning cases, it's pretty difficult, you know? And we really rely on the volunteer efforts of our seniors in these neighborhoods. So I am really in favor of this. This is a great thing. Ms. Gates was very meticulous about making sure that we can afford it. We can afford it. And so that, I appreciate her work on this. The other, we do need to raise an issue that many around this horseshoe, as well as Judge Jenkins, have been raising. The way we're valuing properties, and for those listening at home who are concerned about your property taxes, please remember that this body cut your ad valorem property tax rate. It didn't result in much relief because, of course, your valuation went up so much that your bill's still higher. But we don't have any control over how your property gets valued, nor should we. But we have to keep reminding ourselves, I guess, and the county, and really the state government, who sets the standards for property valuation, that the benefit of the system of property tax funding for our state government that we're supposed to get, which is the turnover of real estate back into the real estate cycle for development, isn't working. And the reason is because speculative investors are able to insulate commercial property from proper valuations. Residential owners can't because of the multiple listing system and because, frankly, of all of the internet transparency around residential property values. They are probably valued very close to their actual value. You wind up getting tagged for exactly what you should get tagged for, except you don't. Because governments that cannot realize the amount of tax that they ought to receive from commercial property are then forced to raise their rates, which are then disproportionately paid by residential owners. The primary way that we could fight this problem is through mandatory sales price disclosure on commercial property. And the amazing thing that we see in Austin every 2 years is that the realtors, Metro Texas Association of Realtors, the realtors around Texas, and commercial brokers, and the real estate council, and basically every real estate interest goes down and fights us on mandatory sales price disclosure. It's nuts. Something like 90% of realtors do residential only. They're absolutely residential only. Yet they pay into this organization that then lobbies against the interests of residential owners. Their actual clients would be so much better off under a system of mandatory sales price disclosure, but they have been, I hesitate to say brainwashed, I don't understand why they can't see our side of it, that residential owners are taking it in the neck on this deal, and speculative commercial owners are getting away with murder. They're being able to sit on unproductive property or keep property developed at a level that is inappropriate for the market conditions. We're supposed to be this dynamic, business-friendly, real estate development-friendly state, yet because of our desire, I guess, to cater to the tax bills of rich real estate investors, we have essentially gummed up the works. We have limited the properties that are available for development and unreasonably burdened our seniors and ourselves with residential property tax rates that are frankly too high. If we were able to just rebalance the amount we're getting from commercial with the residential and make that more fair, we'd be a lot farther down the road toward a fair system of collecting taxes. And I always hesitate to raise the word fair in a discussion of taxation because it's subject to so many different interpretations. But this one I think is fairly, we can all kind of agree on. When you've got a highly a potentially highly productive piece of blank property or surface parking lot in Uptown in an area that ought to be generating somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 a square foot, and someone is able to somehow sit on that land for year after year after year, and you find out the reason why is that the county has it on the tax rolls at $25 a foot. And I can show you specific examples of that exact phenomenon. It is absolutely unfair. It is, poor people are bearing a disproportionate share of our tax burden. And I wish that we could get our great thinkers in the real estate community to kind of come to our side on this issue. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates has spoken, so I'll you haven't spoken. I'm sorry. You just made the motion. My apologies. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I promise I didn't speak. I passed at first, but I do feel like I want to say a few things. I want to, Ms. Rage, which to be able to explain a little bit of the impact. And I caution all my colleagues that there is a financial impact to this, back to the city. And I know Ms. Rage, working on the budget, is concerned about that because we have increased in this current budget. The timing might not be perfect because we know with the pension we're going to have more obligations back on the general fund, and this is essentially an obligation because we're going to have less revenue. But I think it's an opportunity in a time where with these tools that we've talked about keeping people in their homes, and I understand it's sharely, you know, everybody gets the tax benefit no matter what strata you live in, but because of the way tax exemptions are done, they benefit homes that are valued less because it's not a percentage of your tax, but it's taking an amount off your total value. So if you own a $200,000, it's a bit bigger impact to get this exemption than it is if you own a $1 million home. Right. Is that correct, Ms.
Ray? That is correct, yes.
So, progressive. Yeah, it is a way to be able to really do help people stay in their homes. And I do think we've identified, which I think is an important fact, that seniors' homes, you're suspecting that senior homes, by looking at this data, I know it's not certified yet, but the senior homes are valued at less than the average in the city of Dallas. Was that what you're finding?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah, so that's another indicator that, yes, the seniors are the ones that are have a lower value home, so they're going to be, and getting this benefit is helping those that I think we've talked about helping in the circle. So it is going to have an impact, though, all of us, when we come up with this budget. And I know there was a lot of even resistance from some, you know, the senior groups that they're afraid it's going to cut our senior services. Don't want that to happen. But we're going to have to look at, you know, tightening that belt buckle in our budget and finding other ways to cut to make up for this difference. And I also, again, I encourage the Senior Source and other organizations, hey, the individuals that are getting a little bit of a bump that maybe can afford it. I had one constituent that reached out to me and said, I'm willing to pay. I don't want you to cut services. But that person lived in a $1 million home, and so they could afford that, you know, they weren't seeing that savings as significant to them, but it is significant to someone that's in a home that's $200,000 or less. So let's, like, proactively go after that population if they want to donate, and they can get a tax write-off to the Senior Source to be able to help with senior programming. I think we could use that. You might be able to use that tool to help you know, so you might have only saved $200 on your taxes, but that's $200 that we could deploy to senior services that would be helpful. So, all right, thank you, and I appreciate the support of the council on this initiative.
Thank you. Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I've been long working on this thing, probably close to 4 years now, and I think it's very important that we do this to make a stance for seniors. We all recognize that we don't do enough for seniors and people that are on fixed incomes. There's a lot of information out there that people don't really understand, but a lot of people that we, particularly constituents of mine, they're on $700 or $800 Social Security checks. That's all they've got. And you start elevating these property values, and it has a great effect, you know, on them. Many widows, for instance, their husband might have had a pension, but unfortunately, when he passed away, that pension went away.
So many of these elderly women that I represent, they were homemakers. They weren't working. They didn't have their own pension, so they're relegated to very, very little money. So we want to do this. We talked about different levels, you know, $80,000 and so forth, but it really is not going to be very meaningful if we do $80,000. So I think $90,000 is a good beginning. So this is a way to keep the seniors in the city. It's very vitally important. They make up a very large part of our population in District 5 and also throughout the city. So many of those seniors that we're talking about are great leaders in our crime watches, our homeowners groups, and chambers of commerce. So we want to make sure that they remain there. Their leadership's important. So I'm going to be in favor of this, clearly, but one amendment that I would, or substitute motion that I would like to offer, Mr. Kleinman, I would rather see us index that every 2 years. A couple of reasons for that. One is that the state law, I think, requires reappraisals to occur, I think, every 3 years. So most of the time those are done within 18 months to 2 years. So that's going to have an effect there when the reappraisals come in. Also, we've been trying to move to a two-year budget cycle. I don't know that we'll ever implement that, but we'll plan around a two-year spending plan. This will help us, you know, every 2 years we can look at this impact rather than having that impact every year. So I would just, Mayor, I would like to move this time we offer a substitute motion that we index this change to every 2 years rather than one.
Talk to Mr. Kleinman.
I'll accept that.
Mr. Feldman, do you accept that? I'm sorry, I go to Ms. Gates next. You accept it? Now, will you accept, Ms. Felder? The friendly amendment is to move the CPI to every 2 years versus every 1 year.
Yes, I'll accept it.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I also feel very strongly that this is a good opportunity for us to maintain seniors in their households. I was doing a couple of little calculations I've done along the way. In 1986, when we put this in place with $90,000, if we just simply inflation adjusted this, it'd be worth $64,000. It would be worth $136,000 today simply on inflation adjustment. But as many of us know, the home values in Dallas go up faster than inflation, and they have historically. So I was able to pull back some data, not quite that far back, but I was able to pull data to 1993. And the inflation between now and 1993 was about 69%. The home value increases in Texas between now and 1996 was 154%. So even with this inflation calculator that we're adding in here, we're not going to quite keep up, but at least we are going to try to. With regards to some kind of a cap on the amount, I want to also point out that in 1993, a $50,000 house would now have inflated to $84,000, but if we actually use the home value index, it would inflate it to $127,000. So keep in mind that while I know there's some interest in putting some kind of cap, a lot of people started in very humble homes and beginnings and literally are just getting priced out of their budget. And you hear many seniors tell you, not just seniors, but many seniors tell you things like, I could not afford to buy the house that I live in today, or my property taxes are higher than my mortgage. And those are the kind of things that I'm trying to reduce having to hear about. So I very much appreciate your support for Ms. Gates' motion and the amendments that are there, and look forward to doing other things to help us rein in the taxation here at the City of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, thank you. Just house cleaning, number one, that ever since 2007, we have been promised the seniors to increase a tax exemption and homestead exemption. But I'd like to thank Jennifer Gate, Lee Kleinman, and the past council members who's here, who's thinking about the seniors. For many, many years, we keep promising this. And every time we make a promise, it's always, how do we balance the budget? And we try to balance the budget, you know, at the end of the year, and we forget about the seniors. We got to make sure the seniors' homestead exemption is there for one reason.
when the seniors do get older, their house notes do go up. They try to find a way to pay for their medicine. They try to find a way to take that $20 a month, to stretch that $20 a month, and you do that over 10 months at $200, and we need to give back. And the seniors have been great to the city of Dallas, and we need to show some kind of kindness back to the seniors. And that's why I support it, and this came up every year, the 8 years I was on the council, it was always denied for the last 8 years. And I just want to thank this council to move this forward, and it's something that is way overdue. Again, I will support this motion.
Thank you. I love it when the council comes together and we're agreeing on something. It sounds like we're very passionate around this. It needs to be very clear that this is the biggest decision we're going to make in this city's budget this year, ex the police. And basically, those decisions have already been made. So this is the budget right now, council. Okay? You're making the decision. $14 million of a line item. Mr. Kalkoff, do you hear this? Okay? The seniors need to hear this. We are going to be giving $14 million to seniors this year that they didn't get before. This is it. It is going to cut other things, and it's going to get really painful in August and September. Okay? I agree. We're there. But I just want to make sure. I got a little sign in my office, no whining, around budget time. Okay? We got no whining. Okay? Because we have just made the biggest decision in this year's budget. I'm behind it, but let's just all know what we're doing as we hold hands and jump off this thing for our seniors in Dallas. With that, all in favor say aye. Aye. Oh, record vote. Okay.
One moment, please. I need to bring the system up. Please cast your vote. Yeah. 14 have voted. Oh. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, McGue, Caraway, Gates, Felder, Kleinman, Clayton, Rawlings, Narvaez, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins. Council Member Thomas is absent when vote taken. Motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Congratulations to the seniors of the City of Dallas. This is a big decision.
Agenda item number 53, the registered speaker did cancel, is to authorize a contract with the Fane Group, Inc., best value proposer of three, for construction of three regional family aquatic centers at Crawford Memorial Park, located at 8700 Elam Road, Fritz Park, located at 6994 Beltline Road, and Samuel Grand Park, located at 6200 East Grand Avenue.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 54 is authorized number one, approval of the development plan submitted to the Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation by Confia Homes, LLC, for the construction of houses. Number two, the sale of two vacant lots from Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation to Confia Homes, LLC. And number three, execution of a release of lien for any non-tax liens on the two properties that may have been filed by the city. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Narvaez would like to be recognized.
Yes, Mr. Narvaez.
I move to defer this item to the August 9th City Council meeting.
Second. And motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item 4 will be held to the afternoon. Addendum number 5 was previously considered. That concludes your morning items, Mr.
Thank
Mayor.
You, Ms. Gates. Ms. Gates.
All right. We have a little announcement. We have a birthday celebration just a few days after we recess, so we're going to celebrate early. Tanelle Atkins. Oh, let's make sure that cake is here. Hold on. We got done a few minutes before I... let's see. Mr. Clayton wants to know if he can have that many candles. No, I said! He's afraid. He's afraid of my. Yeah, 16. I'm texting to get.
Matilda, will you go get it?
Thanks. I forgot I have a cute little brain cake.
We can take.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. We got the cake. We got the cake. Yeah. I knew it was here. I knew it was here in the office. It just wasn't in chambers. So.
Tanel, I want to say you don't
like
the
favorite 30. And I have to say, I love that Tanel likes chocolate. I love chocolate, too. So, all right. With that, I cannot sing. So, somebody lead us. I hope maybe one of these new council members can sing. Omar, can you sing? Okay. Right. Mark's going to sing.
All right. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. Go. To you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We will reconvene at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. No. No exact. No closed session.
Recess at 10:45.
Oh, everybody. Everybody. What has been put on your in front of you is the resolution that we will be voting on for the bond election. So everybody get it. So when they come back, someone doesn't say, now what are we voting on? Okay? Read it. Read this. That's what we'll be voting on at 1 o'clock. Okay? Good afternoon. It's 1:04 p.m. I will call the City Council meeting for June 28th back to order. We're going to start. I've got a special guest coming, so we're going to start with the public hearings in the afternoon because I'll be able to break a little bit easier. When we need to. So, Ms. Rios, would you call item 55, or a consent? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have some pre-deferrals this afternoon. Councilmember Felder would like to be recognized on agenda item number 61.
Ms. Felder.
I move to defer this item until August 23rd, 2017.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. 61.
Okay.
Ms. Felder, do you have something else to say?
Yes. For that item or another item?
No, we've already taken action on that item. Your light was still on, so thank you.
Thank you. Council Member Atkins would like to be recognized on agenda item 69.
Mr. Atkins.
I move to defer the zoning change to August the 23rd.
Do we have a second? Thank you. Motion is second. Any discussion? Mr. Atkins, did you have something to say? Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Council Member Griggs would like to be recognized on 70.
Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer this item until the first meeting in August, Wednesday, August 9th.
I'm sorry, that was the second, not August 2nd.
The second. The first voting meeting in August, August 9th. I apologize.
Which is August 9th, 9th, and that was the second.
That was okay. The second. Now we got our seconds and ninths worked out.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Councilmember Atkins would like to be recognized on agenda item 72.
I move to defer the zoning change to August 23rd.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in Mr. Atkins?
No.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to what remains of your zoning consent agenda item. Items, that zoning consent agenda consists of agenda items number 55 through 65. Agenda item 60 is pulled for individual consideration by Council Member Atkins. 61 was just deferred by Council Member Felder. Agenda item 64 will be held for consideration with agenda item 85 at the request of Council Member Thomas. And agenda item number 65 is pulled for individual consideration by Council Member Kingston. Therefore, remaining on your consent zoning docket are agenda items 55 through 59, 62, and 63. Those items will be read into the record, after which speakers will be given an opportunity to come forward and speak. First, those in opposition, then followed by those in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the items. Agenda item number 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a historic overlay for One Main Place, 1201 Main Street, on property in an area bounded by Main Street, Griffin Street, Elm Street, and Phil Street, with the exception of the northwest corner of Phil Street and Main Street. Agenda item 56 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property on the east line of North Masters Drive between Dakota Drive and Oak Gate Lane. Agenda item 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2135 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property on the southeast corner of South Buckner Boulevard and Jenny Lee Lane. Agenda item 58 is a public hearing for a planned development district for MF2A multifamily district uses on property on the northwest line of Kinsey Drive, northeast of Maple Avenue, with consideration being given to and an ordinance granting an MF2A multifamily district. Agenda item number 59 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property on the northwest corner of West Keast Boulevard and Coombs Creek Drive. Agenda item number 62 is a public hearing and an application for and an ordinance granting an MF3A multifamily district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the south line of Park Lane west of Ridgecrest Road and on the southwest corner of Ridgecrest Road and Hemlock Avenue. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items read into the record? Any speakers in? Excuse me one moment. I also need to include agenda item number 63, which is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a medical clinic or ambulatory surgical center on property on the north side of West Jefferson Boulevard, east of South Tyler Street. Therefore, are there any speakers again in opposition? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. Do we have a motion to approve? We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Who made the motion, please?
It was Mr. Carraway and Mr. Atkins second.
Thank you very much. We move now to agenda item number 60, and that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CS commercial service district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property south of Telephone Road, east of Travis Trail.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and one in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mayor.
Mr. Atkins.
I want to send this back to CPC.
Oh, I'm sorry. You may. You want to take away your motion?
Right. Yes, correct.
All right. So your motion is now what?
Move to remain this item to the City Planning Commission.
Thank you. Do you accept that, Mr. Dumas? Okay. Thank you. discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Again, item 64 will be held for consideration with item 85. Agenda item number 65 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 543 for R-7.5A single-family district uses and a public school other than an open enrollment charter school with historic overlay number 53 and historic overlay number 120 in an area bounded by Glasgow Drive, Rieger Avenue, Paulus Avenue, and Covington Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 228 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 12 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Pardon me, Mr. Mayor.
What item 65. Are we on? 65.
Move to table.
Indefinitely? Postpone indefinitely?
During the meeting. I'd like to come back to it later, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Just, you want me to hold it for later?
Is that all right?
That's fine. We don't need a motion for that. I'll just do that. Okay? Okay.
Thank you.
Hold that.
All right. For the record, agenda items 71 through 77 and agenda item 686 are listed as designated items, and that rule was recently changed prior to the posting of this agenda. Therefore, that classification no longer exists. We move now to agenda item number 66, a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 234 on the southeast corner of Coral Drive and Cockrell Hill Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 33 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 5 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas, I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Plan Commission with a revised site plan.
Second. The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a PA parking district on property on the north side of Life Avenue, east of Puget Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 30 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Narvaez.
I move to approve the zoning changes recommended by City Plan Commission.
The motion is second. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 71, a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 612 for residential and institutional uses north of Grady Niebler Road, east of Spur 408.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 8 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins. 68?
71.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, Mayor.
71. We deferred that. Sorry. My bad, Mr. Thomas.
No. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Mr. Thomas, nothing? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item 68 was not the one deferred. It was 69. Therefore, I need to read agenda item 68, and that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2099 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property and deed restrictions on the southwest corner of Great Trinity Forest Way and North Jim Miller Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, now.
I move to keep the public hearing open, hold item number 68 under advisement until August 23rd.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 73, and that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to allow for industrial inside uses to plan development district number 911 on the south corner of Robert B. Cullen Boulevard and Borick Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 113 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor?
Mr. Chair, Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202. The application you have before you, the building since 1982 to 2012 had been continuously used as an industrial inside to manufacture doors. In 2012, the previous owner had a different tenant that needed to move in. They rezoned the property. But since 2012 till today, the building has remained vacant. A new owner has come in. The previous operator would like to move back into the space. We need to amend the current PD to allow that use back on the property. All of the service space face Robert Cullum. They don't face residential properties. All the parking is off of Robert Cullum. DART separates this property from any true residential, single-family residential. We ask for approval, Plan Commission recommendation. Stand for any questions you may have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I will entertain a motion. Mr. Felder.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second. Motion is second. Any discussion? Mr. Felder, did you want to say something? Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to sub-area B within Plan Development District number 745 for mixed uses on the north side of Meadow Road east of Manderville Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 21 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 75 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a sub-district to allow a foster care use on property on the east corner of 2nd Avenue and Reed Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 71 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received four replies in favor and one in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
I move to keep the public hearing open until this case, to hold this case open and under advisement until August 23rd, 2017.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CS commercial service district and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial motor vehicle parking lot on property on the west line of Bonnie View Road south of Telephone Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 9 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 77 is a public hearing for a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property on the northwest line of Pennsylvania Avenue, southwest of J.B. Jackson, Jr. Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 56 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and one in opposition. This will require a three-quarter vote to approve due to both denial by CPC and opposition of 20% of the land within 200 feet.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to deny? Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, good afternoon. Suzanne Kedron, 2323 Ross Avenue. Good afternoon, Mayor, members of City Council, and new members of City Council as well. I'm requesting that you follow staff recommendation of approval, which was for a 10-year SUP with a 10-year automatic renewal. The site's located on Pennsylvania between a DART line and J.B. Jackson Jr. Boulevard. It's a monopole tower. It's originally erected in 2001, around 2001 to 2002. It's approximately 78 feet, and it's an essential part of a network designed to not create gaps in cell phone coverage, as well as to result in uninterrupted service. There's three major carriers located on that tower, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile. It's located in PD 595 in a community commercial subdistrict and has the uses around it that one would expect in a commercial district. There's retail, there's the large Fiesta located on MLK Boulevard, as well as a DART line. This site was it was acquired by SBA in 2012. It was part of a larger acquisition of over 1,000 cell towers. In going through their diligence, although many years later, they did realize that this SUP was, in fact lapsed. And then they made application to the City Planning Commission. At the time, they had a different representative. It was a representative that represented them. He's from Portland, Oregon, and didn't understand the process and how things were done in Dallas. At CPC, he was asked about some landscaping, which I have now spoken to SBA, and they're agreeable to do, which is included in the staff recommendation. And then also during the time at CPC, there was no District 7 commissioner appointed, so it was really hard to communicate with a district representative. We hope now with the new leadership that that changes. The second question that was raised by Neva Dean was the opposition notice. That was turned in by the owner of Fiesta. I have since reached out to a Mr. Jim Arnold, and I quote, "We are happy to support extending the time frame for another 10 years," and he asked what he could do to help, and I do have an affidavit of ownership and support from him as well. So with that, I do seek your support of this, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny? Any speakers in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Felder.
I move to keep the public hearing open and hold this case under advisement until October 11, 2017.
And a motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I want to stop our proceedings for a moment. First of all, do we have some interns here? All right, stand up. These are my mayor's intern fellows that have been that are working at the city this summer. So it's great to have you. And you're going to get to see something special. All right? Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a few names in Africa that are famous, like Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu.
And another one that is equally as famous, Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who is the 24th president of Liberia. It is great to have you here, Madam President. Now, let me tell you a little story about Madam President. You know, Liberia was created after the Civil War, and many slaves left the United States and moved back to Africa. And Madam Sirleaf came to the United States to study college at the Madison Business College, the University of Colorado, and Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government, where she obtained the master's degree in public administration. Now, Liberia had a civil war from 1989 to 1997, killing over 600,000 of its citizens, a major atrocity in this world. In that time, in 2003, this is one of the leaders that stepped up and tried to heal that civil war and build a new country. She was selected to serve as chairperson of Liberia's Governance Reform Commission, where she led the country's anti-corruption reform by changing the reporting mechanism of the auditing commission. Now, she resigned from that position to successfully run for the president of Liberia. She was inaugurated on January 16th, and she was the first democratically elected female head of state in the continent of Africa. Since that time, she has been president and working on reconciliation and rebuilding of that government, where she will be stepping down this year. Term limits keeps you out. Now, it was about two years ago when we faced Ebola, okay? Liberia was going through a much worse tragedy with Ebola, where over 4,800 people were killed with that terrible disease. And in the time of our grief, with only one person that died, I got a phone call from Madam President telling me to keep the faith, to keep hope alive, and we would get through it. I was amazed at her grace going through so much difficulty herself to have the time to reach out to the city of Dallas. And for that, I'm very, very thankful. She has gone on and received from President Bush the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor bestowed by an American president. And And she said one of the reasons she loves Dallas is President Bush lives here. Because, and then in 2011, she won the Nobel Peace Prize for the peace movement and the women's rights. So, Madam President, in our humble offering, I want to make you an honorary citizen of Dallas, Texas, okay? Would you like to give any words of wisdom to us humble folks trying to do city business?
Please sit down. Let me say how great an honor it is to be here. Here among you city councilors, where you really, really make the decision that make things run. And so it's a great pleasure. We've come here to participate in the Megafest of TD Jakes. We've had an opportunity to meet him and to meet other officials. It was a great opportunity to meet the mayor yesterday. And so my delegation that are all here have just had a great time interacting with people. We come from a city that's, I want to say small, because it was meant to be small based upon the level of infrastructure. But because of the migration as a result of the many years of difficulties, a city that was built for about 450,000 people, small country of only 4.8 million, now is hosting 1.5 million people. We've got to listen to some of the things you do to keep your city moving, to keep your city clean, to keep your city functioning as it should. And with that, with your kind indulgence, I'd like to introduce the mayor of our city, the one who has to carry that burden of making sure the 1.5 million people who lack housing and enough clean water and enough power and enough, all of those things that make for the comfort of life, she has to every day see how she's going to struggle through making sure that those people have a means to protect their livelihoods and to protect their lives sometime. And so it's just great. Clara Mahogo, the mayor of the city of Monrovia. Thank you. Let me assure you, she'll pay a heavy price for this. The clapping she's getting, she's going to have to work double time for it. Clara, you want to say a word?
Well, thank you so much, Madam Mayor, for being here and for coming all the way to our city as well. And Madam President, if you don't mind, there are some fans that up here that would like to take a picture with you. First of all, Miss Gates and Miss Grayson asked first, so you come up first. We have two women on our city council, okay? And we used to have more, but they asked to be to stand in line and first to be able to have a picture with you, and then we're going to have the rest of the council come up and take a picture. Yeah, I'll step out. All right, and then now the rest of the council, come on. Come on down. Does that work? Okay, that's it. Okay, the mayor. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's get around. Okay, I'm going to stay next. I'll be it right now. So Mayor Pro Tem, our Deputy Mayor Pro Tem.
Madam President, thank you for being with us.
No, that's fine. I'll stand right behind you.
I did a great job.
Can you see Sandy? Can Sandy?
I'm just going to get a quick picture of
okay. I know. Kevin, yeah. Kevin's like, we got it.
got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for coming over. Where is it? Oh, right here. Madam Mayor, just a little token to say thank you so you can put it on your desk and think of Dallas in your time here.
Thank you okay? so much. I appreciate it.
It's good to see you.
Thank you. I have a presentation about the city of Monrovia. I'm going to give it to us so she can give it to you. And
thank you.
You can hopefully start in Sister City.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, thank you. I thank you, Council, for letting us do that. I think I've talked to her. This is the third time, and she's a remarkably strong, wise, and humble leader in this world and known the world over. So to have her here in Dallas is and woman power, as Ms. Grayson says. All right. With that, why don't we go back now and take up addendum item number 4 from this morning.
Addendum item number 4 is a resolution supporting a November 2017 capital bond program, including allocations for various categories in the approximate amount of $1.25 million. We did have 5 registered speakers. We now have 4 remaining due to a cancellation. Those speakers will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. Later we have Craig early. Holcomb, David Prezilzi, Paul D. Rich, and Talim Song. Mr. Holcomb will be first speaker. Please state your name and address to the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
I am Craig Holcomb. I live at 3601 Turtle Creek, apartment 901. I am president of Friends of Fair Park. For 27 years, I've talked to the citizens of Dallas about Fair Park, all over the city, all kinds of citizens. And I want to give you a few observations and draw a conclusion. Fair Park is a place where people get engaged and get married. It's a place where grandparents buy their grandchildren their first corny dog, and those grandchildren grow up and buy their first baby their first corny dog. It is a place where the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Texans and SMU and University of Texas and OU and Prairie View and Grambling have all played football. It is a place where we hosted World Cup soccer and we host international soccer every month. It is a place where Elvis Presley performed and Tina Turner and ZZ Top and Willie Nelson and Hamilton will be in the Music Hall early next year. It is a place where we can learn about our history at the Hall of State, our history as a city and a state. It's a place where we learn about the African American history at that museum and are inspired by the art from our African American artists. It's a place where you can be quiet with the butterflies at the Butterfly House and watch the piranha eat meat at the Children's Aquarium. There is a deep and abiding affection and commitment for Fair Park in the, throughout our citizenry. I ask that you approve an amount that will transform the park to be in the bond program so that those citizens can express their affection and commitment by voting for something that will transform Fair Park and make it better, and they will feel good about that vote. Thank you.
Your next speaker, David Prezilzi.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for letting me to speak today. I'm David Preziosi, and I'm here on behalf of Preservation Dallas, 2922 Swiss Avenue. And I'm here to support the bond funding for Fair Park. As all of you know, Fair Park is one of our most important historic sites in Dallas. But its importance goes beyond Dallas, though, as the home to the Texas State Fair since 1886. But it was, however, the 1936 Texas Centennial Exposition that took Fair Park's significance to a national level, and it remains the largest collection of Art Deco exposition architecture in the country. In fact, it is one of only two National Historic Landmarks in the city, the nation's highest honor for a historic site. Years of wear and tear and deferred maintenance due to a lack of resources for Fair Park have taken their toll on its historic buildings. But we are very happy to learn that $50 million is being considered in the bond package for Fair Park structures, and hope that this amount remains in the final version and that additional funding will be allocated, as there are so many more critical needs for the buildings at Fair Park that could possibly be addressed by $50 million. The Park and Recreation Department has identified that over $240 million is necessary to address the needs of the buildings and the grounds of Fair Park. This includes important items such as repairing leaking roofs, replacing outdated HVA systems, upgrading electrical and plumbing systems to modern standards, and providing better disabled access to the buildings. All of those are not embellishments or building finish-outs, but needed repairs which are crucial to the long-term success of Fair Park and the ability to attract more uses to the buildings. Buildings like the Hall of State have pressing issues which need to be addressed sooner rather than later. In fact, the basement flooded once again this past weekend, requiring a service to come in and remove water in time for an event in the auditorium. Buckets also had to be placed in the Hall of Texas Heroes to catch water as it leaked from the roof, while damaging ceiling plaster in the process, not a fitting tribute to our Texas heroes. The livestock building also suffered damage this past weekend as a 10-foot section of plaster fell off the building above the entrance. These issues need to be addressed and money spent to prevent similar issues from occurring to other historic buildings at Fair Park. We urge you to keep the $50 million for Fair Park in the bond proposal to address the overdue needs of the buildings and to look for more bond money, as $50 million will not meet the entire needs of buildings located in one of the greatest historic treasures of Dallas and Texas. Bond funding is crucial to the long-term viability of Fair Park, and so that Fair Park structures can be repaired to a level to halt deterioration and make them more viable and appealing for use. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Paul D. Rich. We are experiencing technical problems with our timer, so we will have to use a miscellaneous timer.
Paul, I'll
thank you, sir.
Trying to give you a hint.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the council. I'm going to ask you to permit me to just ruminate for a few moments here. I'd like to take us back a few years ago when this chamber was very different. It was different because many of you who serve as public servants today may not have served before we went to districts. We went to districts after other cities in our state. But ultimately, the reason why we went to districts was that it was the right thing to do. It was not necessarily the right political thing to do, but the right thing to do. When I had the honor to serve on the last Charter Review Commission and had the opportunity to sponsor and propose the amendment, the motion to increase the salary of members who serve on the council, it was the right thing to do in order to develop a pool of future representatives for the council. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to recognize the presence and participation of the Asian community in our city. Many of you around this table have committed to public service to make our city more equitable. You did that when we brought on board the Latino Cultural Center, and I had the opportunity of serving on that first committee board for the Latino Cultural Center. I am asking you to consider putting the Asian Cultural Center on the bond program that you are currently considering. Several years ago, the council of our city granted in excess of $400,000 for a study to be performed for the Asian Cultural Center. Many of you have honored us these last couple of years by appearing at different functions here at City Hall and at City Performance Hall to recognize that it is time, the same way we found it was time to go to districts, the same way we found it was time to recognize that in order to develop a deep pool of potential candidates to represent the city of Dallas for the future, that we needed to recognize that many needed some form of compensation. Whether or not the members wished to give it as scholarships, that was up to them. But we could not move forward with representation without pay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your public service, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Rich.
Our next speaker is Tay Lim Song. And I'm sorry, we're still experiencing problems with our timer.
Understood. Thank you. Tay Lim Song, 8111 LBJ Freeway, Suite 480, Dallas, Texas, 75251. I want to thank the council members and the mayor, and I also want to remind the council that the Asian American Cultural Center was publicly put on the bond, and I hope that the council will continue to support the Asian American Cultural Center. I want to be able to speak to each and every one of you, time permitting, about the progress with respect to the land and the pledges in support of this very important project. We want to support the city in growth and in infrastructure, and in particular, support for the arts and cultural communities. Like Paul mentioned before, I think that this would do greatly to promote diversity within the city. We want to dream big, we want to unify the city, and we also want to be fair to all of the communities. Asian Americans and the businesses that they brought to the city of Dallas have provided growth in economic development and development in the arts. My parents brought me here over 45 years ago, and I'm a product of the DISD. I'm very proud of my father's hard work in gaining support for the Asian Cultural Center, and my mother in particular. She's an established music teacher. Her students go to state and national competitions. She lives right here in the city of Dallas. They've lived there for over 40 years, and we've been waiting for an Asian Cultural Center. For years, the Asian community has been in need for additional educational, arts, performance, dance, classical music, and festival support from the city. I think all of the communities in North Texas have benefited greatly by the Asians that have moved here, and I want the city of Dallas to be proud and, you know, be a proud city in the 21st century in welcoming the Asian communities and providing cultural support so that all of the citizens in North Texas can see that Dallas is a leader in welcoming the Asian communities here in North Texas. Matthew Southwest has become a great partner in our efforts to create and make this a reality for the city. Together, we have a vision that we think their development, along with the development of the Asian Cultural Center, should take years, just a couple of years, maybe 3 years, okay, if we can get the support from the city. And I just want to remind the city and the council and the mayor that everything runs deep and wide. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Caraway.
Mayor, I'd like to move approval on this item in our bond program.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Caraway.
Yeah, Mayor, also in talking about the bond program, I see where we are doing things with the city on facilities. This is Dallas City Hall. Last week, our city manager came to us, and we had a proposal and a plan to upgrade on the city council side of the building for our staff to continue to work and for our citizens to be able to come down in a professional manner
and be able to be accommodated as we take care of the business of our constituents here of the city of Dallas. So we asked the city manager in a discussion to see if he could bring down the price. He had started at about $70. Councilman Atkins, you did a great job in bringing that issue up. The city manager did come back with something to the tune of about $400,000. It was $300,000 on the other side where myself and council and Deputy Mayor Adam Medrano is. The 12 offices on the other side are only $400,000. So I wanted to just kind of bring that back up and also ask the city manager to start looking at a pilot program for district offices as well. If you would, bring that back to the council.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes, I just wanted to go back to the comments that former Councilman Holcomb made with regard to Fair Park. That is in my district. However, that is a destination that everyone enjoys. Everyone goes to Fair Park to enjoy the park throughout the year. And I think that it is a small price to pay. $50 million is a small price to pay. Can I have Willis to come to the microphone, please? How are you today?
Good. How are you, sir?
What is the amount of deferred maintenance on Fair Park?
Well, our total, Mr. Felder, our total restoration, renovation, preservation budget, it needs inventory is about $246 million approximately. Of that amount, most of that, I would say, is some type of a major maintenance item.
Okay. And what is the value of Fair Park?
We've never done an official study of this, but if you look at land value, building replacement costs, paving costs, landscaping, a 92,000 seat stadium, it's probably, my professional judgment would be in the $1.5 to $2 billion range.
$1.5 to $2 billion. So would you say that $50 million is a good investment to get $1.5 billion to $2 billion asset?
Yes, sir, I would agree with that.
And what do you estimate the spinoff, the economic spinoff of repairing Fair Park and what we could possibly get in return for that?
I think the possibilities for economic impact on the surrounding neighborhoods and community in the greater city are incalculable, tremendous.
Okay. So, thank you, sir. $50 million is a small price to pay. This is a regional asset. This is for everyone. It just happens to be in District 7. And so I want everyone to understand that this is for the entire community. This is for the entire region, the state of Texas, and the United States. We want this to be a destination place centered in South Dallas Fair Park. And $50 million is a small price to pay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Felder. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to ask our city manager, if we put the Fair Park, and it looks like we're going to, put this on as a separate proposition, will that $50 million be structured? Will we say so much for this building or so much for this particular repair or maintenance, or are we just going to put $50 million? And what I'm particularly interested in seeing is $12.65 million for the Hall of State, which leaves a lot more than that, but that's going to be a good start. I mean, that building is the centerpiece of Fair Park. So were we going to structure it in a way that we can know for sure that Hall of State would get $12.65 million?
Councilwoman Grayson, I'm going to defer to Mr. Winters on that question.
Mr. Winters.
Ms. Grayson, we will have a very specific list of proposed projects for the $50 million that will include and address all of the permanent institutions, our partners that are permanently at Fair Park throughout the year, including the Hall of State, the African American Museum, the Texas Discovery Garden, the Dallas Aquarium, as well as addressing structural issues, HVAC, fire alarm issues.
So when voters vote on this, they will know exactly what they're voting on at
yes,
their
ma'am.
Park.
It will.
It's not just going to be one big bunch
that is,
of money.
That is correct.
Okay.
We will have a specific list of buildings and amounts and the scope of work attached to each project.
And we're looking at $12.65 million for the Hall of State?
We're looking at more than that.
Oh, okay, good. All right, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's see. So I just want to make sure everybody recognizes that the city's got about $5 billion in debt, and we're actually going to put another billion on top of that. Very disconcerting that we had actually talked about having, at one point, I think a $600 million bond program, then $800 million, now we're over $1 billion. So people just need to be cognizant of the burden you're putting on our citizens when we do this. And while this vote today does not call for the election officially, it does put a cap on what we are going to call for, and I'm hoping we can at least stop here because clearly we have a lot of expenses in this city, a lot of operating expenses as well as capital expenses, and I just would like to express my concern that that we're just going well beyond what I think is good in the city when we're looking at adding probably about another 50 to 60 million in annual interest. I'm not quite sure what the number is. Maybe Ms. Raich could help me. But on top of all the other budget constraints we're going to have in the upcoming fall. So just buyer beware. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got a problem in that we have had no consensus around council about which of these projects, like the one Mr. Felder referenced, should be funded as city. Could y'all, pardon me. I'm sorry, I was getting very distracted. Because what you say is so important, I don't want to miss it. We've never tested individually which of these projects could get 8 votes around this horseshoe. I know that there are projects that have been proposed as part of this $1.025 billion that could not get 8 votes around this horseshoe. I suspect that one or more of those is actually in my district. So when I'm saying this, what I'm arguing for is a process that is supremely transparent and does not place money into projects in a district that at least 8 of us would support. And I'm frustrated by the process that this council has engaged in, because the simplest thing to do is take the list of citywide projects and we can just vote them up and down one at a time. And we're going to run this thing down to the wire, and on August 9th, when we go to look at the projects, I'm going to ask for each one to be voted up or down. You all will either decide this is a good enough package and we don't need to do that, or maybe you'll decide some of these need to be tested. And I'll be happy with whatever your decision is, but my point about this, about the way we're going about this, is that this is not a transparent process that vindicates the will of the people. This is a political process that mollifies individualized complaints about the bond package that council members have in order to build some kind of consensus. And maybe it has been built. And I'm not going to curse the bond package if that's the will of this body. I'll be happy to go out and campaign for it and support it, but it's going to be a little bit sour if it has stuff in there that simply doesn't have majority support on this council. We should test whether each of these should wind up in the package. And doing it this way, setting the amount, and then trying to cobble together a political coalition without examination of the individualized projects very much has larded the program, which I believe is something that Mr. Kleinman is trying to draw our attention to. It would have been possible, in my opinion, to create a consensus bond package in the $800 million range or in the 9025 that we saw last week from the city manager's office, as long as we are all testing the citywide projects with actual democracy. I hope that's not a novel concept. This is how we've built bond packages in the past. I would encourage those listening who care about the integrity of this process to contact your council members and tell them you want up or down on the citywide projects. I think we will get a very we'll get a bond package that we can all have a full-throated defense of when it comes to selling it to the voters in November. And I believe that projects, for instance, like Mr. Felder's need for a lot of help at Fair Park, have strong consensus around this council. I believe items like the Loop Trail have strong consensus around this council. But I'm willing to test those with the using the tools that really the charter and our rules lay out. This feels like we're hiding projects inside the propositions that not all of us want. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I pushed my button for another reason, but I'm going to react to a little bit what Mr. Kingston said. And I agree, when we had this discussion early, moving in that direction, I think would have helped solve it. I think in making the pot bigger got everybody a consensus versus doing some tough cutting. But I think at this point we've kind of passed through that road, and I also think TC put into place the Citizens Bond Council, the task force, and they did that. I think they took votes. There was just a few items that got put in afterwards, and I'm not sure why that happened, but they were, a lot of these projects were vetted by that task force, and I think that Citizens Task Force put a lot of hours and a lot of effort, and we would be almost recreating that again if we move back. So I understand your frustration. I agree. I think that would have been probably a better way to do it before we even Senate or to the task force, or doing that either before or after. I'm not sure how that works, but I do think our task force did vet all these projects. I think it was just a few, and I think we went through that the last briefing, that the ones that were added by staff afterwards. With that, I'm going to move forward with this. It's larger than I had wanted to move forward with. I think we are moving forward a little more transparent way, and the fact that I know Mr. Griggs had asked, and I strongly supported, that we include actually what the carrying cost, the debt is going, the whole debt service of this on this bond ballot going forward. I do think we're still missing the actual, these new projects are coming on board, the increase in O&M that is going to be impacted. I thank Mr. Brodnix for giving that information to us so we can recognize. But I strongly support this package because I think most of it, new items for the city of Dallas, there's also, we're taking care of some of our street conditions. We're taking care of buildings in Fair Park, some of our critical facilities. While I fully understand we're not taking care of to the extent that we probably need to, but we can't do it all in one bond package, we are making that a priority, which was a huge of importance to me, that when we made sure that we were deploying this expensive borrowing of money, that we were doing it in a fashion that we were taking care of existing facilities and infrastructure first, and I think we did that. And thank you for sharing the information of the new projects, like in the streets that are not actually improving streets. We looked at that, and the majority of it is improving streets. We do have some street enhancements and traffic signals, which are all necessary. But that's, I think the public deserves that information and deserves to know what their bond dollars are going to be, going forward, how they're going to be improving Dallas, improving the quality of life. And I think the majority of these items were not 100%, but a percent that makes me supportive of it is going to be improving the majority of all citizens' life in the city of Dallas and helping us grow as a city in a reasonable fashion. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Adkins.
Thank you. I think, Jennifer, you said everything I wanted to say about the bond package. I do agree that the $100 million, we do need $100 million. I do agree that we need our street, our infrastructure taken care of. I kind of disagree on economic housing. I just got a heartburn that in this particular bond that we're looking at $50 million for housing, maybe $15 million for economic development. And the reason why I say that, TC, I hope we find some kind of way, even though we got a whole lot of tools in the toolbox for economic development, but we still got a whole lot of opportunity in the southern part of Dallas. No hotels have not been built in the last 60 years. No restaurant, sit-down restaurant we need. No office building has been built in the last 40, 50 years. So we need every tool possible in the toolbox. I look at downtown, uptown, and the Crescent. That started in a public partnership. And without the public partnership, those tax project, those building, office building, the hotel and restaurant, we've never been there. There was the tools in the toolbox. So, therefore, I think we need more tools in the toolbox for Southern Dallas. If we're going to grow the tax base, we have more land south than anywhere else vacant. My district, I grew the city of Dallas 2-1 in the 2010 census. So we need every tool in the toolbox. And I know housing rooftop is there. But just imagine everybody in District 8 go across the street to Duncanville, DeSoto, to the hotel, or go to Cedar Hill to the restaurant. Those are things, economic opportunities that build our tax base. We're trying to build our tax base in Inland Port. We got many warehouses, but we still don't have grocery stores. We still don't have restaurants. We still don't have hotels for people to stay. So I hope you can find in your staff to find another way. I know you're working trying to create an avenue. I hope we don't spend time trying to experiment on something that have not been working. I'm trying to work with something that I know that I can deal with the history of the city of Dallas. But there is tools that we need to add more to the toolbox. I look at Southwest Center Mall, things we're trying to do there. There is a great opportunity at Southwest Center Mall to build. I believe with Lee Climbing, Valley View, we got to get Midtown started. If Midtown don't do what it's supposed to do, Southwest Center Mall is not going to see the green grass. But we still need more tools in the toolbox at Southwest Center Mall. Infrastructure there, that was the first mall that was built many, many years ago. And we talk about Southwest Center Mall, but we also forget that you look at Grand Prairie, you look at Mesquite, on 20, you couldn't even get off the freeway on I-20 to the mall for many, many years. We've been talking about that for the last 20 years, and the malls don't have asset road. We look at Camp Wilson. We look at the Greenbelt. We got to look at the storefront, you know the drive-up appeal there. We look at UNT, UNT right there over 20. We got to work with Lancaster. We need hotel. We need more retail. If that UNT grow to 15,000 or 20,000 students, that could be a $2 billion economic impact to the city. But you can build all the houses there, but where are they going to shop and where are they going to eat? And that's my dilemma, you know, when we look at housing, but on the eco man, you know. And I believe in that we got to put money in economic development. We're in a food desert. People walking to the grocery store, going to a dollar store to buy milk and eggs, spend $5 for a loaf of bread, you know, that's unheard of in District 8. So, therefore, we got to find the tools. And with this bond package, I believe that we can be more creative. How do we find this out? But houses we need. We definitely need houses. You look at the Inland Port, we got 20, 30 million square foot warehouses there. But guess we might have 15 to 20,000 square foot of office space. The reason why, housing, but also shop. Where are they going to shop at? You know, where are they going to wine? Where are they going to eat at? Those are things that created. The worst thing that we have in the Southern Dallas, the money do not turn five times in the resident. It might turn one or two times. Somebody might buy gas or might buy food, but the money got to turn five times in the resident And that's true economic development. It got to turn. We got to make sure that people can walk, live, eat, entertain in a neighborhood, in a walkable neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I want to say, as somebody who was very vocal in my opposition to the process of this bond program, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't tell TC and Magid and staff thank you for kind of seeing through the process. It is not, you know, it's not perfect. I echo some of the concerns Mr. Kingston had, and I think Ms. Gates said about, you know, getting through the process. But, you know, it's like in any other project, sometimes the porch is too hot and sometimes it's too cold. And now I feel like we kind of got it just right. And so I appreciate you being personally involved to get that through. The one question I do have, because I haven't been through a bond process, so we get through August, we vote it, we take it to the voters. Voters are going to assume, oh, you passed a bond program, now it's all going to happen, you know, the next week. Now, Mr. Callahan said I could have his money first and that we would push him back, but right, we've already taken it anyway. Now, can you tell me, what is the process about what proposition get funded first? How does that go, or are you prepared to say?
I have Magid come up. You know, I'm just the city manager. You're asking these very detailed questions. But it's financial as well as how we go about being able to acquire the contractors and establish the bidding process to do it. So Magid will give you a high-level overview of what our thoughts are.
So, Mayor and council members, what we're seeking today is support for the billion and 25 million resolution. With that, that's when we have until July 3rd to have the specific language on the different propositions, not necessarily the amount, but just the language itself that goes through bond council as well as the attorney general. We have up until August, the early part of August, for the city council to basically determine the specific amounts for the different propositions, meaning streets, parks, drainage, economic development, and housing, as well as fair park and facilities. So once that goes through, then in August basically is when council passes a resolution authorizing basically the November 7th election by the voter, and then in November is when the voters vote on the bond, and you know, presumably there's favorable calls that,
sure,
that passes through.
I'm sorry, I don't think I asked my question properly.
And he didn't. So you asked it correctly. He just didn't answer the question.
Okay, good talk.
So if in fact the voters adopt the package in November, we've shared with council, I think previously in prior communication, the level of funding and debt and how we'd issue the bonds, pretty much about $100 million or so, if not more, each year. So we obviously share that with you again, and we wouldn't do everything up front. The prioritization of it, if I had my druthers, and I'll have to work with the team, is that we look geographically and figure out how we can do work in the most efficient manner, but do it in various parts of the city at the same time. And we will hopefully be working as we report to council, in addition to the dashboard I'm hoping we create, that the citizens will be able to know what's coming, when it's coming, how much money we're spending, and how that will be allocated. We'll find a way to do that in a transparent manner for the community, but then work with council specifically as we go into their districts. Some of the things we'll do up front as well is up and around our bidding to ensure we have a wide net to encourage all types of contractors who may not have previously participated in the city's processes to get engaged. We'll do a lot of the pre-engineering work, I'm hopeful, and some of that bidding as we approach the November election, so that, again, we can begin immediately afterwards and don't have to come to council and wait 6 to 9 months to even move forward with contracts for design and other types of things like that. So we'll put together our game plan. Hopefully we'll share that with the council as we approach the bond election, just so you know how we will then execute. But we'll lay all that out, but we hope to have a very transparent process for the community to be able to follow and track, as well as identify what exactly is going to go on in their districts, at what point and when they can expect it.
Great. That's exactly what I want to hear. Perfect answer. You had me at hello, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
as Mayor Pro Tem Carraway talked about, we need to really look at this plan, take a good look at this plan in terms of upgrading the offices. We are the ninth largest city, you know, in the world, and we need to look like it. We need to have that type of look. We need, when our constituents come in, they need to feel like they're welcome and they're coming into an environment that's high quality. So I think we need to take a second look at that. But also, as Councilmember Atkins talked about, representing the southern part of the city, we do need to make sure that we have funding available for economic development. It is critical that we provide some assets. We have what I believe is top level staff. We have some of the best staff in the nation who are leading our departments and our chiefs. And so now that we have people who are equipped, we need to give them some tools. We need to make sure that we have some assets that are available as we begin to move toward a city-focused RFP process from a developer-focused RFP process. I think that's going to be critical. We've all talked about and during the briefing and the committee briefings about the MVA, the market value analysis, and what are we going to have when the results come back? When we get the results that show us the areas within our city that are most prime for development, what are we going to have available for city staff to use? We need to be thinking right now about making sure that they have what they need at their disposal in order to attract the type of development that we all say that we want and need. Quality housing. We've got to have quality housing, but also we've got to be able to offer some incentive, offer some support to developers who want to and are interested in building south. I think, and I've said this on a number of occasions, when the Redbird development takes off, then other developers are going to say, you know what, I wish I would have been first. Where else in Southern Dallas can we go and where can we benefit from this? We've got people in Southern Dallas that are driving on the other side of town because they don't have the resources, or we don't have the resources right there in our neighborhood. They're willing to drive out north. And we know when Councilman Kingston and I attended grand opening for the Whole Foods, we had a lot of people who live in Southern Dallas who were there as soon as the doors opened. The Costco that's out north. We have people that's driving from the southern part of the city out north to Costco. So we need to be able to have something available, and we have an opportunity right now to set aside funding that's going to be available for economic development. I think we need to consider at least an additional maybe $5, $10 million for economic development in this particular bond package. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Just one thing, because I'm concerned about what Mr. Kleiman and Mr. Kingston and Ms. Great said, because this is a lot of money. I mean, over $1 billion. Do we have the capacity? Yes. Okay. Should we use all the capacity? That's the question we're talking about. But I got to believe, and Mr. Kingston's question is a good one, if we don't believe in this stuff, we need to kind of raise our hands. Last week, I asked if anybody has heartburn about any of the projects in this, any of the citywide projects, to call me. And I asked him to do the same with Mr. Broadnax. Ms. Broadnax, has anybody told you, are there any issues that anybody's concerned about?
Not as it relates to specific projects. I know, okay. I did have a discussion with the council member about the district-wide concept and the designation and the difficulty in right. Identifying what's district-wide and what's not. And so that was about it.
Okay. All right, because I want to be very transparent to the citizens. If there are people, and there's definitely more than eight people, if some of these items couldn't get eight votes, I assume we're talking about them. And I haven't heard from them. So until somebody starts talking to me about some of these things, I'm assuming we're all there. But we need to make sure we're there before we spend this money. With that, I will, the motion's been made and seconded. Mr. Callahan, did you?
Yeah, I haven't chimed in. I'm sorry, I had an important call. I had to walk out the room, so I didn't get to speak. But I certainly wanted to throw in my two cents worth on the overall process. I just want to illustrate again, you know, the 800,000 just doesn't get it done. The $1.25 billion is closer. There's still certain. Got knocked off for some reason. The challenge that we're going to have, though, is still with the needs that we have versus the money. A lot of people are going to get left out. All of these projects have merit. You know, there's been many numbers of people, special interests that have come down, and for just cause. You know, they have something that is interesting to them that they want to see done, and they've waited a lengthy period of time. But as I've illustrated before, the more of these specials that you do, then that kind of diminishes the overall pot of money. I want to dial everybody back, you know, a year or so ago, we were all kind of blood pledging that, you know, hey, 80-90% of all the money, we're going to do streets. And then we said, no, well, let's do streets and parks. And then said, well, we want to do streets, parks, and the list kept getting longer. And, you know, we started doing our window shopping, and then we started seeing nice things in the window that we wanted to buy and we wanted to have. So as we watched this pot of money, we kind of went down to the 60% range. I think there was one set of figures at 59%. There was another one at 52%. Now, if you do the math, we got $500 million earmarked against that $1.25 billion. So we're now less than 50% because of this, so to speak, this wish list that we've had. In spite of the great wish list and all the needs that we filled, reminds me of little Johnny in the dike with our finger in the dike to try to stop the leaking. You know, we've done a lot of that, but still, I don't see anything in here, you know, for a senior citizen center. We all know the story about Grand Prairie and the beautiful senior center that they have. We also saw in the media earlier, I think this week or last week, that Arlington is going to have a ribbon cut on a $45 million center. Now, that just boggles the mind. They've got the Cowboys, they've got the Rangers, they've got a new stadium, still a very good stadium, but they just say they're going to build an even better baseball stadium. And then on top of that, they're going to spend $45 million to build a nice senior center. Talk about amenities, talk about a draw, talk about making something really wonderful for seniors. So we never seem to get there. We're always told to wait next time. You know, we'll do that in 2022, or we'll do it in 2027, or we'll do it in 2032. It's kind of like Pleasant Grove. They've been told that for years, too. And we want the majority of our money to go to parks and streets. You know, we've been pretty clear about that throughout, and that's where I'm trying to put my shoulder to the wheel. But a lot of the other areas, everyone has gotten this big block of money for various things, and so much of it is in the downtown area. We've spent millions upon millions with Omni and the Convention Center and Clyde Warren and the Arts District, and I love downtown, love it. I mean, that's the heart of the city. But at some point, you've got to spend out into the various districts. Those folks matter. That's where the citizenry is. I recognize that that you have to have nice things, and the city's got to matter. We had to save downtown. But we saved downtown, so we can't continue to keep pushing that large amount of money. And I think if you were to do the math, and we were all honest with each other, the vast majority of the spending still is going to be in the central business district part of the town. So that leaves a very small pot of money. I guess the good news, if there is any silver lining, is the fact that $678 million is going to parks and streets, so that's about 66%. So that's not too bad, but still, when you look at that 34%, you got a little bit of flooding, but you got a lot of signature projects. You know, that had we kind of hit the pause button, then we might have had even more money for streets. So I don't know how long it's going to take. We did give the seniors a little bit of relief today on their taxes when we kind of raised our exemption level. That was a good thing. That was very historic. But I would love to see us somehow, some way, find a way to get money for a senior center. You know, one way, of course, that was mentioned that we could pull money from our respective budgets, but again, that diminishes our pot even farther. One other more simpler way would be to just go from $1.025 billion to $1.065 billion, and then there's $40 million right there, and then you build a nice senior center, and then you put it where the demographic data says the majority of seniors live closest to that point. So if it's in East Dallas, West Dallas, South Dallas, if it's Oak Cliff, wherever it ends up, wherever the DART is, that ground zero for senior citizens, that's where you build the first one. Mr. Kleinman had a good idea. She, you know, we had a great idea for aquatics. We had a plan for the aquatics thing. So we took the Robertson Park out at Lake Ray Hubbard, sold that for $31 million, and so we developed a plan. We also need a senior citizen center plan so we can end up building perhaps a total of five of these. That way we can get one in each quadrant and one in the central business area, hopefully, or somewhere in the center part of the city. So those are my goals. Mine are pretty simple, streets, parks, but I still would like to get that senior citizen center. Glad that we're putting money in Fair Park. Again, I don't care what part of the city it's in, really. It's Fair Park, and that's where it is. So let's spend the $50 million. That's the right thing to do. But we've got a lot of heavy lifting to do, and a lot of people, a lot of citizens are tired of waiting. They don't really want to wait to, and be told, well, wait to 2022, 2027, or 2032. That's a long time. And then just because you get to those timelines, then you got to wait a little longer to sell the bonds and actually to get a construction contract and do the work. So it's a moving target. So, Mayor, while I appreciate the great leadership, you know, the big signature projects, and the city has moved forward, we need to find a way to move forward faster for those, the have-nots, particularly in southern Dallas. We talk about grow south all the time, and I'm ready to grow southeast, but you've got to have money, you've got to have investments, you've got to have things that matter, a drawing card, and I'm hopeful that this bond campaign will answer a lot of that. I'm generally happy if we could get a senior center, then I think we would have pretty well solved all of our the particular needs that we have today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. All right, with that, I will we'll take a record vote since this is a big item.
Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, McGew, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Council Members Gates, Felder, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Council Member Narvaez, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins. Voting no, we have Council Members Kleinman and Kingston. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll take the next item.
Thank you. We're going to go back now to our public hearings. The timer is now working, and you'll notice at the podium, again, individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Agenda item number 78 is a public hearing and approval of the fill permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 1.24 acres of the 1.73 acres of land located at 7580 Greenville Avenue within the floodplain of White Rock Creek, fill permit 17-02. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, I'm. Before we take up this item, we got to be fair to our city manager, Mr. In the whole area of facilities, Mr. Carraway started this whole thing about let's get the offices right. Okay, is he supposed to go make? Do something with the offices or keep it the way it is. Okay? All right? I mean, he called the question. Folks that want to see another plan from Mr. Brodnick, show of hands. Okay? Okay? Moving forward. Yeah, moving forward. Yeah, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, well, but you wanted, okay, so.
Yeah, which item is it?
It was the bond thing. He said in the bond, we're going to spend money in this facilities for the, in this building. Okay? All right.
I thought the money was from And it was. He brought it in from a facilities. He can do it without the Mr. Brodnax.
So I think as Mayor Pro Tem Carraway had mentioned, I think we had discussed this, I think, a week or so ago. He brought it up under the item of the bond because there is actually bond dollars in the package, about $7 million for City Hall. I think it was an opportunity for him to share that those improvements that we talked about the week before were not in that package. What could have been done this current fiscal year, I think he talked about, I think, the current thing or the current design, I think, that the council saw the other night. I think the issue was some people did not like that particular layout, and that's fine. Staff is trying to find ways to improve the floor plan for staff as well as the council to create a suite type of a concept. I think the only issue I would have is when I didn't hear any direction, and that's fine. I got it last week. If there had been a change in that direction, I at least wanted to get some kind of thought from council, at least to show that we could go forward with the work. My only issue would be if you talk about showing a new design, one, we won't be able to do any work because everybody will not be here, and to shop a different design between 15 different people will probably be difficult, and that's fine if that's what you ask us to do. We'll do that, but I just wanted to make sure I had clarity. I didn't want to go and do anything until I understood what council was desirous of me doing.
Yeah, so once again, do we want Mr. Brodnax to move ahead in July to redo the offices? Okay, show of hands.
Okay.
Get the cost down. Has the cost come down or not?
Yes, it has, and I'll just be very candid. The cost, as we, I think, shared the last time, about 150 to 200 of that was the rush job that we were trying to do it in about 30 to 35 days prior to you returning from your vacation. If, in fact, council's okay with construction going on and movement going on as you come back, then we can slow that down a little bit to just get it done and get it right and lower the cost. And so we think we can keep it between 400 and 450 at the top end. We were going to do some additional improvements outside of the offices to deal with the public space that we're now moving from the inside to the outside to ensure that your guests feel comfortable and they actually realize they're coming into the city council areas. Thank you.
Okay. That, show of hands, want to move ahead. Okay. All right, we got enough. Go ahead. Move ahead.
Is that going to be?
Yes, Ms. Grayson.
Is that going to be part of the bond program?
No. No, he was saying let's spend some bond money, and Mr. Brodnax said we don't have to spend the bond money. The money's in the budget already.
Did you say, Mr. Brodnax, $7 million that we have?
In the current bond program, there is $7 million for various HVAC and other types of improvements throughout City Hall. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm still opposed to spending that money.
I saw that hand. Ms. Grayson, I mean, Mr. Ms. Gates, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, and I was one that mentioned the area that's the most important to me is where our visitors wait, because a lot of council members like to leave them out there for long periods of time, and those old chairs, just to make it look a little nicer in the waiting, or even pop up a TV and they can watch the news while they're waiting, is I've heard several people say just how unwelcoming that little hallway is. If we could just make it more welcoming and, you know, something to look at other than past mayors would be nice. So
okay.
That was the area that I was most concerned about. And
Ms. Felder?
If it can be part of
yes.
that.
I'm not in any particular hurry to, you know, get the council offices fixed. So if we can save the taxpayers money, that's what I want to do. You know, because again, I'm going to be one of the fiscal hawks around this horseshoe. I'm not for spending money unnecessarily, but we need to spend it prudently because these people, taxpayers, work very hard for their money, and I want to make sure that they get their return on investment. And so that's where I stand with that.
Thank you. Okay, we've clarified that. It's a little bit clearer than mud, but I think it's there. All right, next item, Ms. Rios.
Agenda item 78, and there were no speakers.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 79 is a public hearing and approval of the fill permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 0.61 acres of the current 17.41 acres of land located at 1700 Woody Road within the floodplain of Stream 4C3, Field Permit 17-03. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Atkins.
Nine.
79. Okay. Item 80. Item 80. Let's do item.
Sorry,
80.
Mr. Mayor, who made the second?
Nobody's made anything, so let's do 80 because skip the first time.
Agenda item number 80 is a public hearing and approval of the field permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 0.045 acres of the current 0.16 acres of land located at 2616 Pasadena Place within the floodplain of White Rock Creek, field permit 17-05.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers.
Thank you. Mr. Clayton.
Move for approval.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
All right, Mr. Mayor, I understand Councilmember Kingston's ready to go to agenda item 65.
Well, let's finish up 79 first.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried. All right, let's go back to 69. Was that it?
It's 65.
65. Thank you.
So we had already read the item and called speakers, and there were no speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. A minimum of 538 parking spaces are required for the public school.
Thank you. Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Agenda item number 81 is a public hearing and approval of the field permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 0.75 acres of the current 1.42 acres of land located at 6631 Armando Street with a floodplain of Caruth Creek, field permit 17-06. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Agenda item number 82 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of one unimproved property acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff to South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize the city manager to number one, quit claim one unimproved property to South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation, and number two, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment together with post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Approval.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Shall we go to 65, Mr. Mayor? I'm sorry. Actually,
we did that one. We already did that. Okay. 83.
Thank you. Agenda item 83 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation ordinance to prohibit the use of designated groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Deep Ellum Hall, LLC, located near the intersection of South Hall Street and Jeffrey Street and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation certificate to Ellum Hall, LLC, and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. I'm required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would you please come forward, identify yourself, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Damon Johnson with Modern Geosciences. I'm the professional geoscientist representing the applicant. I'm here to answer any questions if needed.
Thank you, sir. Are there any speakers on this item? Any speakers on agenda item 83? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
I move for approval.
Second.
Motion second. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 84 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation ordinance to prohibit the use of designated groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Radical 1530 Inspiration LP, Radical 1300 Inspiration LP, Radical 1323 Simmons LP, Metroplex Design District LLC, and Howard Lawson, located near the intersection of Inspiration Drive and Slocum Street and adjacent street rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation certificate to Radical 1530 Inspiration LP and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Again, I'm required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Sir, please identify yourself.
Sure. My name is Kenneth Tram. I'm professional geoscientist number 805 with Modern Geosciences, here to represent the applicant. Our address is 5100 Thompson Terrace in Colleyville, Texas.
Thank you, sir. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Norrez.
Move for approval.
Second. The second motion is second. Discussion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Agenda item 64 was held from this morning or earlier in the afternoon, and that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR Community Retail District on property on the south side of West Wheatland Road, west of Clark Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 87 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and 9 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, are you going to speak? Please state your name and address for the record. You do have 3 minutes.
My name is John Kerrigan with the Kristen Company. I assembled this site. I've been working with the city and appropriate parties in order to get the steps necessary to get a grocer at this location. I'm excited to help bring a grocer to the area, and I'm happy to introduce Sarah Beth White from Kimley Horn, their engineer on the project. Thank you, Councilman and Mr. Rawlins, Mayor Rawlins. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, if you'll please come forward. Again, you have 3 minutes to speak. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Sarah Beth White with Kimley Horn, 12750 Merritt Drive, Suite 1000, Dallas, Texas, 75251. I'm here representing our client, the proposed grocer at the southwest corner of Wheatland and Clark Road in Dallas. In order to develop our site, we are needing to change the zoning from neighborhood services to commercial in order to accommodate the square foot of the building. The building will be just shy of 36,000 square feet. They'll have their private label brand foods, along with other brands, fresh fruits and vegetables, and their in-house fresh bakery. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the zoning change recommended by the City Plan Commission.
And that is also item 65 that you're moving for approval to, right?
64. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. That was
85. Mr. Mayor, 85 has not been made into the record. My understanding is that it was just being held to be considered at the same time 85, but not collected.
All right. So this is for item 64, right? That's the motion you're making, Mr. Thomas?
Yes, sir. My understanding was we were going to do both together, but if we have to do them separate because they're both related to the same item.
Can't we just take them up at the same time, Ms. Rios?
I can read it in consultation.
Yeah, let's read it and let's take them up.
Agenda item number 85 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from a public school, Kennemer Middle School, required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code, to allow a wine and beer retailer's permit for a general merchandise or food store with 10,000 square feet or more area on the south line of West Wheatland Road, west of Clark Road, and at the west line of Clark Road, south of West Wheatland Road. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. And because 85 is an alcohol variance request, it does require 2 seconds. And, of course, 64 we require 2.
He had made the first, yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Well, let him make the first.
I move to approve the variance to the alcohol regulations requested by the applicant.
Second.
There are 2 seconds. Thank you. Mr. Thomas, any discussion?
Of course, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if they really, you know, brought the energy and the excitement that was expected, but we're excited about having a grocery store that's coming to Southwest Dallas. So we're growing Southwest, Mayor. We've had 2 neighborhood meetings, both neighborhood association presidents are in support of it. The first meeting was with the neighborhood that's most adjacent to where the grocery store is going to be located, to make sure they didn't have any concerns with traffic or zoning or any other issues. And the second meeting was for the entire Mountain Creek, Woods, Sugarberry area, to have them to come out and see exactly what this grocery store is going to look like. So I'm going to ask at this time, if I can, Mr. Nicholas Balsamer with Lidl, which is the 4th largest grocer in the world, will come down and show us exactly what the store is going to look like.
He may not be here. People turn around. Is he there right now?
He was in the audience. Is he still here? Does anyone have pictures or something? I mean, I think
What's that?
Sorry for the delay. I thought we'd
Mr.
be
Thomas,
ready to go.
This is important. So
he was
so wrapped by our other discussions that we got.
Thank you, Council, for your patience.
Come on down.
While they're coming down, they just opened the first store in the United States last week, before. Lidl is the grocer. It's a beautiful store. And when I saw the pictures, I asked, is our store going to look like that? And I was told, yes, sir, it will. And so.
Sir, come on down.
Mr. Balsamer on the audience?
You can ask him. He's right here.
We're trying to give you some free advertising. Do you want to take it?
Sure.
All right, let's tell about the store.
Hello, Councilpeople. My name is Zick Balsamo. I'm the director of the Dallas office for Lidl.
There you go. Come on.
The address is 4835 LBG Freeway, Suite 520. Here to answer any questions.
Tell us about the store.
Right.
Like,
sure.
This is your opportunity to tell us about how great Lidl is. Show us the great pictures from the other store. And I mean,
absolutely appreciate that, council member.
That's the expectation.
Okay. So Lidl is a 36,000 square foot grocery store, primarily private label goods, about 80% private label, 20% national brands. We are in the initial expansion phase here in Texas. We have a primarily convenience-driven model, focused on fresh and convenience, as well as low prices.
Great. Do you have a better picture, a pretty picture? There we go.
Yeah, show
us
a pretty picture.
Oh, I couldn't see if what y'all are seeing.
Yeah.
This is the bakery inside. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to get by the mic. So.
What you're seeing is the bakery. They have in-house fresh bakeries products daily. They also have fresh produce. As you can see, this is a picture of a store that's open on the East Coast, so you can see a product that has been built and what we're expecting here in the Dallas store. You can see the watermelons and pineapples and fresh produce there. There's also going to be an area where you can pick up your fresh meat. And There's also going to be the sale of beer and wine, hence the alcohol variance that we had requested. The store will have some brand name, their private label wines, and they'll have other wines available. And this is one of the views from the store on the East Coast and another view of the store. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Appreciate it. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
We move now to agenda item number 86, and that is a public hearing concerning the renewal of the Knox Street Public Improvement District for the specified area of the Knox Street Public Improvement District area for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on real property and real property improvements in the district, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize number one, approval of a resolution renewing the Knox Street Public Improvement District for a period of 7 years. Number two, approval of the service plan for the purpose of providing supplemental public services. And number three, a management contract with the Knox Street Improvement District Corporation as a management entity for the Knox Street Public Improvement District. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
I move approval, Mayor.
Second.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor. Oh, Mr. Kingston,
no.
I'm sorry. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items.
Mr. Mayor,
Mr. Kingston.
Heard briefly on an administrative matter.
Please.
2 years ago.
The lawyers let me.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I think this doesn't need to be posted. 2 years ago, when the agenda for this meeting came out, it had dozens of items that had not been to committee. The addendum had hundreds of millions of dollars of spending on it. And Mr. Griggs and I attempted to defer, pursuant to our privilege under the rules, all of the non-emergency items to the first voting agenda in August. And council actually had to vote by supermajority to suspend the rules to keep us from delaying all these items that it had insufficient consideration in the committee system and through the body. And we were told both 2 years ago and 4 years ago that this meeting simply was the time when all the stuff that hadn't gotten done all spring simply had to go on the agenda. And I would like to offer my thanks to Mr. Broadnax for proving that that is not the case.
Thank you. Thank you. Me too, by the way. I remember that 2 years ago. Thank you. Let's take our afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our remaining speakers from the morning additional open microphone are Emmanuel Vinton and Stephanie Bell, after which they will be followed by David Bello, Bernard Purty, and Marvin Crenshaw. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, our speaker is Emmanuel Vinton, coming forward. Stephanie Bell, David Bello, Bernard Purty, and Marvin Crenshaw will follow. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. My address is 1410 Glen Haven Drive, Dallas. My name is Emmanuel Vinton. I'm the chapter vice president of United Here Local 23 in Dallas. I'm here today to testify about the working conditions of LSG's car chef delivery drivers at DFW Airport, who are exposed to heat, extreme heat on the job. They are working in trucks without air conditioning while serving planes operated by American Airlines and other airlines. All other major in-flight catering companies other than SkyChef routinely provide air conditioning in their delivery trucks. Drivers are required to wait for planes normally for 30 minutes to an hour. In packed trucks exposed to sun and heat, many days the temperature will rise over 100 degrees. It is even hotter inside their vehicles. Last summer on June 15, 2016, driver Hong Deng passed out in his truck on the airport ramp. He was transported by ambulance to Baylor Medical Center. He was treated for heat exhaustion, weakness, and dehydration. he told me that the last thing he remembered was pulling out his phone and calling his wife. I had a similar experience when I was working as a driver at DLW in 2013. I fell dizzy in the truck and suffered a heat stroke. I was taken by my co-worker to the kitchen to cool off. On August 6th through the 11th of 2016, drivers at DLW did 25 temperature readings inside their trucks. Out of those 25 temperature readings, where 84% of them were high or very high to extreme risk level for heat stroke and heat exhaustion, as defined by OSHA. We raised this issue to management many times, but nothing has changed. We have been told that the company does not want to provide air conditioning because it will be very cost effective. However, the airline made a record profit of $35 billion last year. American Airlines can fix this problem. I urge the City Council to please investigate this issue and work with American Airlines to keep the drivers safe at work. Thank you, Mayor Rollins, and members of the Council. We will be sending each of you more information soon. We hope to address this issue before the hottest days of summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Stephanie Bell. Ms. Bell will be followed by David Bellow, Bernard Purdy, and Marvin Crenshaw.
Hello. My name is Stephanie Bell, and I reside at 1818 Corsicana Street. This is in Dallas 75201. This is a zip code. I'm not all that familiar with public speaking, so you gotta excuse me.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. I did want to discuss a couple of things. One of the things was homelessness. I am actually homeless. The address that I gave you was from a homeless shelter. I actually slept right outside last night. My biggest thing is I want to speak from actual experience, and I had visited Dallas Life, and I went there as a Christian woman trying to receive services, and a couple of things had astounded me when I was there. One of the things that astounded me was that there's actually an actual store that's inside a not-for-profit organization, and I've never seen that before, and I was very taken aback by that. I don't know the legalities of it, but I just thought there was a conflict of interest. When I went there, I have issues with digestion, and so there's certain foods that I have to have in order for things to go well with me. And one of the issues that I had was that the meals that they served were inadequate. And these are meals that they're supposed to be receiving funding from through, I guess, whatever kind of resources that they received, that food banks or whatever donate to them. And the meals were very inadequate to the point where it wasn't a full, all four food groups weren't being addressed. And this was a problem because they have this store there so that you're supposed to be there to be able to save money and get on your feet, but they don't serve proper food, so then you're finding yourself going into the store and using the food stamps. Now, this store is actually inside the building where the church is, and so to me, it was a conflict of interest, and I didn't know if you guys were aware of that or had that in train of thought. I was also met with a situation where and I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen where you're faced with opposition. As soon as you feel like you're going to get something, a breakthrough or a blessing, here comes something and knock it down. And that's what it kind of seems like has been happening to me. But what I'm stating is that I was told that I could stay there for 4 days for free. And then I had to make a decision on whether or not I would be proceeding forward with whatever programs that they had, which I didn't have a problem complying with that. The problem was with the fact that they told me that I had to have a psychiatric evaluation before I could go back to the facility because there was, I was calling out a spirit entity, and anybody who prays to God and knows that he's a spirit and knows that he, you know, and believes in him and knows that he's real knows that there's things that are outside of your understanding. So I'm just asking, and I'll be, I'm sorry, I know I'm going, getting ready to go over. I have other things to discuss, but I will make that available at other meetings. But that was just one of the concerns that I had. And I understand that, you know, I understand that they have concerns, but to tell someone in a religious environment that's practicing a religious situation to tell them that they need the psychiatric help in order to go back and then create even more homelessness.
Thank you.
And hardship is terrible. So that's just one of the things.
Thank you.
But I'll sign up again and I'll okay. continue on with my
speech. Thank you, Ms. Bell, for coming
Thank
down.
You.
Next speaker, David Bello. Mr. Bello will be followed by Bernard Purdy and Marvin Crenshaw.
And the mayor and the city board member. I'm David Bello from 25 Rain Mary Drive. And I've been in Dallas for 2 years. And looking at the increase in the crime rate in the society, we're able to come up with a system whereby these people, to keep the city safe, by identifying people just by their picture. So, for instance, you can really know who they are just by their picture, and that could really help in reducing the crime rate in society by knowing who people are before you interact with them, before you deal with them. This could be also used by the law enforcement people to really identify people. We have a flyer out. We have this system could be integrated into the existing security system for the city. The body camera, the police can also use it, and that will really help people to identify them without any contact. The system can also be used by capturing any image source from any image source, fingerprint, eyes, color of the eyes, and that will really keep our society safe by knowing who you are, who people are around you before you even deal with them. I am here to present the product to the city and hoping the city can integrate this into the existing infrastructure. And this could be used on the mobile devices, on the laptops, on pretty much everywhere, and people can know who people are before they deal with them. And that could really help us reduce the crime rate.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next speaker is Bernard Purdy. Marvin Crenshaw will follow.
My name is Bernard Purdy. I reside at 6137 Songwood Drive in Dallas, Texas, 75241. And I know I'm supposed to direct my comments to the mayor. I got bad eyesight. I don't even know where you're at, Mayor. Would you raise your hand?
I'm right
so
here.
I can kind of
right
look
in front
at
of you.
I'm a little disappointed that I have to direct my comments directly to you, because what I'm going to talk about is going to involve three different council members, and I think it's unfair to the other council members to for somebody to try to figure out who he's talking about. So I will identify the situation by their districts, and I guess everybody will know who we're talking about. June 13th, which was a few days ago, I contacted new elected council member in District 7, told him that me and my family, we didn't have any food that day, and we was facing an eviction. Gentlemen, quote and unquote, sounds like a legal problem to me, and I got to get ready for my inauguration, unquote. Contacted the council member for District 8, who I personally talked to on the telephone, who said, I'm driving right now, Bernard, call my office, talk to the lady there, we're going to get you some help this afternoon. That was June 13th, haven't heard from him. Council member in District number 4 contacted his office. He's going to get back with you before the end of the day. That's been since June 13th. My point is, people say everything that people want to hear when it's time to get elected. Once they get elected, when you go to them or you call them, it's empty promises or lies. I'm going to say that, and I'm going to move to this. I just want the council to know that the folks at the Martin Luther King Center and your West Dallas Multipurpose Center, Mayor, you got some good employees there. Those people are hard workers. They care about what they're doing. And I'm going to give you a number that I found out that I thought it was really unbelievable, and I'd like for every council member, please, to look into this, because, as you know, the Martin Luther King Center and the West Valley Multipurpose Center service not just in certain districts. They service the entire Dallas, city of Dallas. Their program to assist people for rental assistance is $30,700 per year for the entire city. Please look into that. A lady talked to me last week. She talked to me. She had more tears in her eyes than I did because she was really disappointed that she was not able to help me. $30,700 per year. Mayor, please look into that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Perday.
Your final speaker today is Mr. Marvin Crenshaw.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I just want to talk briefly about something that has been going on for quite a while. On September 22nd, 2016, I had forwarded a letter to Mr. Christopher Bowers, who's the interim city attorney, concerning some issues that I was having with the city. Mr. Bowers was succeeded by Mr. Castro, right, as the city attorney. But I received a letter on November 8th from Ms. Alia B. Powers, the executive assistant city attorney, regarding the issues that I had raised with Mr. Bowers. And Ms. Powers had requested that I would, in an effort to assist our office in reviewing your allegations, please provide us with the following: the names and, if known, addresses and telephone number of each individual likely to have information regarding the issues that I brought forward. On November 28th, I replied to Ms. Powers, and I told her that I would provide the following names and information, because most of it she had right there with her, and she could find out about all the issues in the city attorney's office. There were basically about three issues that I did on the second letter. One was Tartus interference in South Lake, Texas, where I was picketing out there in 2013. And I gave it a list and names of different people. Mayor Michael S. Rollins, two, former city manager A.C. Gonzalez, former city manager Mary Soon, former mayor pro tem Tanelle Atkins, Miley McCall Carroll, and detectives Kevin D. Jackson and Janice Crowder. The second one that I put on there, which was a tester for me with her, if she was going to be truthful in providing information, the second was sexual assault by a council member against that person's administrative person. And I cited the city attorney's office, Pete Schinkel with Dean Foods, and a council member who I interviewed while that person was with the Citizens Council, and that person confirmed the actions and also ID'd the council member for me. In Ms. Powell's reply to me, she denied all those allegations and said, in essence, that I was lying. You know? And I've been waiting for a period of time to get back to do this. But she stated I was lying, and I know I'm not lying. And I have proof of everything that I've stated. And I also stated to her, Mr. Mayor, let me finish up, that not only was I intending to file some type of legal action, but I was also willing to sit down and to discuss the issues with the council or anyone else that they want to bring forward at any time, and I'm presenting that to you also. But they are very serious issues, and they should be dealt with, and I've also forwarded a copy of all of this to Mr. Broadnecks, the city manager. So I will get that to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Meeting is adjourned at 3:11 p.m. Have a good July.